Remember the swine flu scare of 1976? That was the year the U.S. government told us all that swine flu could turn out to be a killer that could spread across the nation. And Washington decided that every man, woman, and child in the nation should get a shot to prevent a nationwide outbreak, a pandemic.
Dr. David Sensor, then head of the CDC, the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, is now in private industry. He devised the swine flu program, and he pushed it.
You began to give flu shots to the American people in October of 76.
October 1st.
By that time, how many cases of swine flu around the world had been reported?
There had been several reported, but none confirmed.
Where did this so-called deadly variety of flu, where did it first hit back in 1976? It began right here at Fort Dix in New Jersey in January of that year when a number of recruits began to complain of respiratory ailments, something like the common cold.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Saturday, January 16th, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. Just trying to figure out why DLive's not working for those in the chat saying, I'm not supporting him anymore because he's not on DLive. Because it was a choice, obviously not. DLive, some reason, isn't going through for some reason. We'll see why. Probably more censorship. Just so you guys are aware, I've been restricted and censored on DLive for quite a long time. That's not new. They keep me X-rated on DLive in general, no matter what. And I've talked to them. I can't get a response, so on. Anyway, but today we have a lot to get into. As always, I feel like I say that every time. And even though when it's a short show, I feel like I end up going long anyway. But I'm going to try my best today to not add stuff around the sides and see if I can get through this in a reasonable amount of time. I'll probably forget, so you can laugh at me when we're done. But I'll do my best. I really want information like today to reach the broadest audience. And whether that ends up being people who redo shows based on stuff that I reported or so on, that's important. But I want this show to get reach. So I'm doing my best to kind of cut this down as best I can. I haven't even gotten to clipping up the other show I did the other day that was like 4 hours, but we're going to talk today specifically, starting off, a little bit about the Capitol building discussion, but more so as it pertains to, as I see it going forward, the manipulation, and in fact, how it seems that even the mainstream is arguing, or rather, I would argue inadvertently pointing out that QAnon was a psyop. But not how you might expect. It turns out it was I would argue it is, an FBI psychological operation, which is interesting because they tried to make it out to be with the article we're talking about a Russian hacking concept. That's the interesting part. We're going to get into that to start. Shouldn't be surprising to anybody out there who's been watching our work and plenty of other independent media who have been calling what this looks like the entire time. And I, along with a lot of other people, have never been saying, we know what this is. I've just said, well, there's never really any evidence. It's all based on trust and so on. And I believe this is what it is. And I feel like this is pretty clear. We're going to talk about that to start off, as well as a lot of other really damning information in regard to how it clearly, definitively was not just Trump supporters storming the Capitol. I'm sure plenty of you have already seen this that are keeping up on the information. But it's interesting because even the mainstream is kind of quietly walking back these claims. Well, yeah, there were other people there that voted independent or whatever. Clearly not. And we'll show you why. But we're also going to talk about the vaccine discussion today. But arguably, what I would say even more important than the thing we're starting with, the adverse reactions. And it is overwhelming. You probably all saw what's going on in Norway. If not, we'll talk about it to begin. But there's a lot more than that. People in Israel having all kinds of facial I mean, there's a lot of stuff going down around this, and they are actively keeping it from your view. But we will first, with that discussion, start off with how a new study found that that's exactly what's happening, that they have not informed you properly, and that's a huge violation, and that's specifically in regard to ADE, or antibody-dependent enhancement, which we've talked about, which James Lyon Weiler's talked about, which Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s talked about, which we've continued to point out, along with pathogenic priming, which we've talked about in very similar ways. Essentially, take the vaccine, and it increases your risk of severe illness. That's what this study found. And it's an important study coming from the sources that they're telling you you should be trusting. I wonder why they're not talking about that. We'll also talk about the lockdowns that are happening and how it seems to be leading to camps for people that don't go along with what they're being told to do, as well as some continually interesting information that is around not just lockdowns, but masks and the whole evolution of this narrative and how it's being shown to be a fabrication in every possible way, which, of course, remember, doesn't necessarily mean that it's not using something to base it on, right? The idea that to argue that there's absolutely nothing out there, which, by the way, is something you should be willing to consider and ask, that's a possibility, but it could also end up being a scenario where they have something, but build an entire narrative around something that's not what they told you it was. That's also a fabrication. So understand, there's nuance in everything we talk about on this show, and there's so many out there that just don't care about that because they're right. Maybe. But I'll allow you, as the intelligent viewer, to come to your own conclusion, as you would hope they would do. But let's start off today with a couple of articles that were just recently put up on The Last American Vagabond. Some really outstanding work, both from Robert Inlakesh as well as from Derek Brose. Actually, really quickly, let me adjust my video before I share it. There we go. Okay. Oh, let me do it one more time, actually. I don't like when it's not centered. Okay, so here is a great article. And of course, I have to take credit for making that picture. But I have to say, I saw it, another version of it where they were doing it with Iranian leaders. And I thought it was just perfect because this article, as it's entitled, if anything, the United States is the home base of Al-Qaeda, not Iran. Home base in quotes, because that's what Pompeo is saying. To argue any of these things are the home base is sort of a misrepresentation because this whole thing is a creation, which you should remember, as I point out here on the WikiLeaks document that says this is a WikiLeaks cable. Or excuse me, a State Department cable that WikiLeaks showed us that's never been denied. Al-Qaeda is on our side in Syria. Yeah, we know that. Anybody does that's paying attention, as well as a video with two different times Hillary Clinton, as well as I think General Petraeus and a lot of other people have admitted, as we should know, that they created the Mujahideen, or they used the Mujahideen or created it and turned into Al-Qaeda, which turned into ISIS. They created it trying to go against the Soviet Union in Afghanistan, right? This involving Pakistan, we've talked about this a lot. They admitted to it. So the point is, they created this. And they always have. And they've armed it, funded it, controlled it, and used it to overthrow and invade countries. We should know this by now. This has been verified, proven by documentation. I mean, even things like the whole moderate rebels non-scandal, which should have been huge, where we found out that they weren't really moderate, they were terrorists. But it's okay, because there are terrorists. And we just jump past that. Oh, look at Libya. Oh my gosh, look over here, look somewhere else. This is an important article that shows you the truth. And it gets into the details, the facts, the information, and shows you why it's absolutely ridiculous to argue that Al-Qaeda would be working with Iran in any sense. I'll let you read it for yourself. It's a very important article. But the point is, this builds towards, as what we've already been showing you, that remember that they've already linked the concept of, or tried to, their claims anyway, that white supremacists are working with Al-Qaeda, which is really stupid. This is where the concept of the vanilla ISIS that Whitney and I have talked about, or she talked about on our show. And they've already tried to claim that somehow, despite the obvious ridiculous contradiction of their ideology, they're working together. Then they've already said, okay, well, now Al-Qaeda's working with Iran. Oh, no evidence of any of these things. But now you could draw a line from white supremacists, which they're claiming are Trump and MAGA and Q and all this stuff, back to Iran. And now you could argue that Iran is, they're talking about things with the Capitol, saying, well, and we'll get into that today, saying, well, they're present. It wasn't just MAGA support. It was actually Iranians and Russians and Chinese, and they were inside the Capitol and they were stealing laptops. Yeah, nothing to support that at all. But they're building the narrative, and that's what this is really about. That's why this is actually important. But read through it. Hopefully you'll read and understand more. Another great one from Derek. In the aftermath of the Capitol raid, the facial recognition threat persists. Another great one. I'll just read you some parts of this. As the Minds Unleashed reported, Clearview AI is the name of the company, is collecting data from unsuspecting social media users, and the Chicago Police Department is using the controversial facial recognition tool to pinpoint the identity of unknown suspects. The New York Times reported that the Miami Police Department used Clearview to identify some of the rioters and sent potential matches to the FBI, talking about the Capitol. So the people that they were seeing committing violence, they were using this to track them down, including those, by the way, who were just present. The Wall Street Journal reported that an Alabama police department was also using Clearview to identify faces and images from the riot and sending information to the FBI. Now we know There's already been numerous examples of people who have been arrested who turned out not to actually be responsible, or even, I mean, I haven't, there's one that I haven't digged further on, but arguably wasn't even present. But regardless, we've seen this happen a lot with facial recognition before the Capitol, where people in fact were arrested and charged and even pushed forward, and it turns out, well, that wasn't even them. We've seen this. It's turned out that the whole idea of this facial recognition is so incredibly it's interestingly reminds me of James Corbett's past work of how many different things that we're told are definitive or not, like fingerprints, like hair analysis, like bite analysis, like all kinds of things, lie detector tests, even fingerprints, understand, are not as definitive as they want you to believe. There's a reason they do that, because they want you to think that they have, you know, Lolo, we got a fingerprint. Oh, you got him then. Same thing with this. It says they have thus far made the technology available to some 2,400 law enforcement agencies across the United States. The American Civil Liberties Union has filed a lawsuit against Clearview. By the way, understand this is being driven aggressively now after the Capitol. It's saying since the Capitol, they've seen this exponentially increase. I think it was something like 30%. That's not an accident. It says the American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU, has filed a lawsuit against Clearview, alleging that the company violated Illinois Biometric Information Privacy Act. They did. A state law that prohibits capturing individuals' biometric identifiers without notice and consent. So they don't even care. So this is a federal idea that is basically ignoring and over what's the term we're hearing today? Riding roughshod over the rights of the states, or specifically the states' rights in regard to the people. Or I guess that's not actually accurate, states' rights, but the rights of the people within the states and the state's government that is upholding those. And it's incredible to see this, that this company, who's not even a government aspect, this is a private company that is just doing what they want because the government is okay with what they're doing. That just shows you that you don't matter if it's inconvenient for them. Clearview has argued that they have a First Amendment right. And you know why they do that? Because of past legislation that ruled that corporations are people. And that was a huge loss for everything. Because now they can do things like this. They can argue, well, we have a First Amendment right as a corporation to capture public's face prints, as they call them, without consent. Clearview claims because they gather the face prints from publicly available photos on the internet, they have a right to disseminate that information, and it's already available. Now, there's a difference. As an individual, you could argue that. But as a company who is then cataloging them, making tools with them, and selling them to police, there's obviously an issue there. Your government doesn't have the right to be like, hey, I have a First Amendment right to just take things from you. That's the point. But then when it comes this whole private-public crossover that Whitney and I keep talking about, they can go, well, we're people. We're not the government. You don't get to use FOIA requests. You don't get to ask us things. That's why they're doing this. It's a shell game of government. They're slowly pushing it out to where it seems like they're not involved in all the things they're doing. The ACLU has stated that Clearview's view is dangerous and could be the end of privacy and information laws if the courts don't do something about it. 1 year ago, 40 organizations, 40 of them, signed a letter calling on an independent government watchdog to recommend a ban on U.S. government use of facial recognition technology. Of course, nothing happened, right? So many people can speak up and it gets discussion and talk and then nothing happens, which is usually what happens when the government wants something. They'll give you a lot of show, a little dog and pony show, and then they will do what they want. They also call on the board to address growing concerns that, quote, facial recognition techniques used by authoritarian governments, you know, like Israel, like the United States government, like French's government, like most of the governments we pretend are democracies, to control minority populations and limit dissent, and it could spread quickly to democratic societies. We only need look toward China to see how the system could spell the end of American liberties. It's funny how we continue to point to China as the bad guy, you know, bad guy China right now, if justify anything we want, and it's the same thing we do with China, or the government does, yet we, the government continues to model themselves after what China's doing. Isn't that funny? The point is, the last thing we should want as Americans is to be anything like the Chinese government, because that's an authoritarian, alarming government. But here we are, marching lockstep right towards it. Interesting. But the point is that this is happening all under the guise of fighting COVID, of dangerous capital raids, or whatever. Fear. Oh, that thing yesterday? We'll make that the excuse too. Why not? How about the thing tomorrow? That too. Lump it in there. This is why. Danger. Whatever you can think of is why we need to continue to do the things that you kind of don't want, but we need to because danger and fear and because your best interest. Over and over and over as we just get drug into this because of the people that are afraid to stand up and say, no, we can see this. A lot of them. There's a lot of Americans. I argue the minority, by the way, but there's enough of them to be pointed at as the fake majority, and they are too afraid and meek to actually stand up and realize that they're stealing from you. They're robbing you of everything you have. But because they go, well, we're ruining your life for your best interest, they go, oh, okay. Well, government, good, so okay. Wild. Stanford scientists can tell if you're a liberal just by looking at your face, apparently, which is to add on to this point, that this is where this is going. And whether this is even true doesn't matter. They'll tell you something, and that's what the case is. When's the last time they even prove or verify anything? And this is, I'm talking more so foreign policy. But if, let's say, tomorrow they go, oh, well, we're going to use this to tell whether or not you're a radical, and then say, well, we've proven that it's 95% effective, so if you're a radical because this says so, well, you're going to get put to a camp. Right? I'm using a lot of points from today's show that you'll see make sense as we go forward. All these things I just mentioned are actually happening in regard to COVID and what else, but this is alarming. The same way, this is kind of like a pre-crime scenario where they're going to look at you and say, and understand they're using liberal versus conservative, but this can go any way they want it to. And this is why this is exponentially increasing. That's coming right now. One facet of a larger agenda. But it says he trained, this is the person in regard to Michael Kosinski. He trained the facial recognition algorithm to accurately, according to them, guess a person's political view with an accuracy rating of 72%. Now, by the way, we have to remember that this is the same kind of thing when you enter in the data. If the data is flawed, well, the outcomes will be flawed. So if this is somebody who is doing this in a way that guides it in a direction, you could see that. And I feel like nobody really has an absence of political views today. In any sense, it says to do this, the researcher trained an algorithm with over 1 million profiles from social media web. And interestingly point out is that people on social media, and I would argue ones that they probably obviously picked out as clear conservatives and clear Republican Democrats or liberal, whatever you want to call it, are the people lost in the two. They are the two party illusionists. Let's keep using that. I don't want to say Democrats or Republicans anymore. I want to say two-party illusionists. They're all lost in the same thing. It's our government versus the people. It is the elitist versus us. It's the class war we're always seeing. That's really the part of all of this. So the two-party illusionists are why we are struggling, because they will refuse to recognize that our government is playing a game of, you know, what is it? What, hot potato, essentially? Throwing it back and forth, and we're pointing, he's got, he's over there. While they're both doing it. And all you can do is see one side at a time. It says political orientation was correctly classified in 72%, they say. Remarkably better than chance, 50%. Human accuracy, or 55, it says, or one of four, which is interesting, though, because what they're basing this on is clear characteristics that we associate with these sides, which is the point, right? When you realize what they're doing here, the people lost in the two-party illusion are easy to point out because they're caricature, they're like cartoonish caricatures of what we already think of these things. Right, that's why it's so funny to look at the extreme Democrat and extreme Republican, because they're cartoons of themselves today. I believe that's a small percentage of what the real majority is today. But that's why I would argue this is easy to do, because yeah, if you're stuck in that illusion, well, you're associating and defining your life around these points. But it says, he said the algorithm is highly predictable in determining political views from viewing faces, which implies a notable difference between the facial images of conservative and liberals. Now, it's not about that. Remember that what he's pointing out is the fact they're using facial recognition and using it actively right now under a guise of some kind of, you know, quirky left versus right politics discussion, when really what they're doing is great, is using it to decide what you're thinking, what you're doing, what you're gonna do. That's what this is. It's everywhere. Which, by the way, brings us into the point of the Capitol, which we have to remember, they have this stuff everywhere. Everywhere. So the idea that they were searching for people, we didn't know who is this, identify them, it's a joke. As we pointed out before, the day this was happening, most of these people were already named and discussed, and they were acting 4 days later like, we need your help to find them. They had so many things set up there, artificial intelligence, facial recognition, every kind of surveillance you could imagine in one of the most highly surveilled and protected buildings in the country. So this, arguably, and before we even get into the point about QAnon, was meant to justify one of these things. A lot of them, by the way, but we're talking specifically about facial recognition. But look at all the things that are happening. The defense, the Domestic Terrorism Act, all these different things are coming through because of this. And we all, and this is a joke. This is obviously not how this was supposed to go. people that were meandering around. Yes, there were parts that where people were obviously being violent and unjustly so. And we're going to get into some examples of how some of the very people cheering on what was going on and leading it were people that were arguably, I would argue clearly, not Trump supporters. But that's not being discussed. From antiwar.com, feds walk back claim that there were kill capture teams at the Capitol. One of these claims that were flying around mainstream media without any due diligence, without any investigation. Oh, and guess what? Now they're quietly walking it back. But too late. Nobody cares about the walk back. Nobody who reported this or shared it on their Twitter accounts are going to follow up and go, ooh, looks like they sort of quietly walked it back and didn't really say it didn't happen, but they didn't say it did anymore. That's not really reportable. That's why it'll go away. And you'll go on thinking forever that they were going to kill people because they reported that. But clearly there's nothing to this. And no, for those new to the channel, I'm not a Trump supporter. Two-party illusion. Both of them, Trump and Biden, are equally dangerous. Right now, all you're seeing is the use of one of these puppets to make sure you believe what they want you to believe in this moment. I argue, actually, that Trump was not, he was probably sold something in this thing that he didn't get. That's why I think he's sort of pushing back. But, you know, that's my guess. At the end of the day, it's your government versus you. That's what this is. On Friday, the top federal prosecutor in Washington, D.C. said there is no direct evidence. Right, no direct evidence, despite this already being discussed all over the place, already being reported by numerous mainstream outlets, no evidence that pro-Trump demonstrators who stormed the Capitol on January 6th had formed kill capture teams. How crazy is that? We've all seen the videos. Are we really going to pretend like that was even something that anybody was concerned about? Even their arguments about how, oh, we barely got out with our lives, and you look at the video, and they're just kind of milling around. Like, it's very transparent how they're trying to hype this up for their own purposes. And then, of course, the people that just side with them will, how dare you pretend it wasn't that serious, because it's beneficial to them, too, because they support the person that's using it. The comments by acting U.S. Attorney Michael Sherwin were an effort to walk back allegations made by federal prosecutors in Arizona. In court filings on Thursday, the prosecutors claimed that the people who entered the Capitol planned, quote, to capture and assassinate elected officials. Sherwin said there might be a disconnect between his office and other federal prosecutors over the evidence that's been obtained so far. Sure, I guess it just got lost in the mail. The claim about the kill teams was made in filings against the person you're seeing, Jacob, here in the image with the shaman guy. It says that he entered the Capitol building wearing what you're seeing there. A note to Vice President Mike Pence was allegedly, which I love this. Can we see that? Right? I mean, was there even a note? Like, I find this ridiculous. And how do we know it was actually, if there is, how do we know it was something that wasn't? There's just the idea of how willing they are to play into this psyop should make you question literally everything that's happening, which you, by the way, you should do anyway. But it says allegedly left by him was cited as evidence for the accusation that demonstrators were planning to assassinate officials. Here's what the note said. Sort of how they make Trump saying, you know, I'm not going to the inauguration out to mean wink, wink, kill everybody you can. Like, it's just irrational. Here's what he actually said, or the note actually said. It's only a matter of time. Justice is coming. Oh, clearly they're going to kill people, right? Only when you try to, you know, flavor this with what they claim these people are. So their assumption about who they are is then added to their assumption about what the words mean. We're way off the rails here. This is nothing but opinion from people who want it to be what they're selling it to you as. Look, could it mean something like that? Of course it could. But that's not how the law works. That's not how this works. Clearly it does because they're doing it. But the law is a tool that could be used by us as well as them. The point is that they are abusing it. You could also argue that they are saying, well, we know you're criminals, because they are, by the way, and justice will be coming for you, because hopefully it will be. Uh-oh, did I just threaten people's lives? Clearly not. But yet they would argue that because of what they think he is and what they think he secretly, wink, wink, wants to do without any information. They could do that to me right now. They do, by the way. They do it with everybody, because these are the irrational, irresponsible people. The mainstream, all the people that are pushing this for political reasons are bad, bad, dangerous people. Whether they even realize it or not. They're willing to ruin your life, destroy literally anything in front of them, and destabilize people and cause people to attack each other. Why? So they can push in their political agendas. But don't worry, they're there for you because they represent you and their constituents, right? Of course, obviously. How would we guess otherwise? But it says the Arizona federal prosecutor's filing read, quote, strong evidence That's what he's pointing to. It's only a matter of time, justice is coming. Strong evidence, including his own words, which, by the way, they were assuming was left by him. But it wasn't, though. See how dumb this is? Their own words and actions at the Capitol supports that the intent of the Capitol rioters was to capture and assassinate elected officials in the United States government. So now they're assuming based that it was him, assuming what the words mean, and assuming that that means their intent was to do something that nothing in the letter even said. That's called intelligence and science, in case you didn't understand. That's science today. It says a spokeswoman for the U.S. Attorney's Office in Arizona told Reuters that the office plans to amend the filing made against him. And it'll end there, right? That's it. So they can come out and call you literally a treasonous terrorist trying to murder political officials. And then when they find out, oh, we have no evidence whatsoever and we guessed at everything, we'll just quietly walk that back and never bring it up again. That's not how that should work. These people should be put up in the middle of a crowd and everyone should go admit that you were wrong. Openly state that I made a mistake. I claimed this for my own purposes. I had nothing to back it up and I should be held accountable, but that will never happen. Mike Pompeo floats the most incredible nonsense every day with nothing to back it up and nothing ever happens because it's all part of the organization, the organized plan, what they're all trying to accomplish, your government. And that, by the way, doesn't mean that every single one of them are at some secret table and they're all on the same plan or same page. But at the same time, I argue that the vast majority of the people involved in our government are aware to one degree or another what they're allowed to know, right? That's the decentralization of all of this. You got the elitist circle at the top and the people that tell the people below them what they need to know and nothing more, and so on and so on and so on. So you get people in the political positions, like the Nancy Pelosi's of the world, that are, I argue, not very bright. They think they're at the top of everything, but really, they're just another puppet of all of this. The people who fund her campaign, the people who influence her decisions, whether she even realizes it or not. That's why this government that we have is wildly broken. Now, the point here is to show you that there's a lot going on here that they're not talking about across the board. Rush to judgment on Trump, multiple leftists arrested for Capitol riot. Now, it's supposedly, now this article, by the way, is very slanted, but nonetheless, it just has points that are verified that I'm showing you, which is always what I tell you. Doesn't mean that the point is if you verify the source material for yourself, it's really no point. And, you know, the slant matters, but not in the not if it's not influencing the information. Supposedly, he was the instigator. Supposedly, he'd egged the rioters on. This is in regard to Trump. The tape of his urging his supporters to stay strong and fight. Literally, his tape of saying, stay strong and fight in regard to the election, right? Or you could assume whatever you want, but you don't know what he means if you're just going to pretend we're guessing one way or the other. But that was Exhibit A, apparently. And with no skepticism whatsoever, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi declared Trump guilty and rushed to the second impeachment, as we've all seen already. She declared it was all about holding Trump accountable. And she added, pop back up, she added, that her explicit aim at the uselessly late date was to prevent him from ever running for office again, which, by the way, we said right in the beginning. Never mind what the voters might want, right? Oh, guess we don't think about that. We'll scream about democracy unless I don't like what the result might be, so then we'll just ignore that. But don't worry, we'll scream about how important democracy is whenever it matters to our agenda. Right? Do you not realize how that crazy... So if I don't care if it was 20% of them, I don't care if it was 10% of Americans wanted to vote for Donald Trump or wanted him to be president. Her actions in this case are not representative of what Americans want. That's not what's happening here. Now, I'm a vote no one 2024. That's just with 2020. The point is because the system is broken and your vote doesn't actually mean what you think it does. I've done 100 shows on that, not to get sidetracked. But here, she's telling you, she and whoever her circle are, people, just say Congress at large, deciding that they're going to make sure he can't run again is literally subverting American will. Some of it, I argue, a large portion of it. But democracy is just a tool they use, just like anything else. Now, it says the arrests made in the riots case are starting to show the kind of people who like to riot, which is to say, as they say, extreme leftists. But by the way, it happens on both sides. In this case, because of the paradigm we're in, like that's what the argument is. But you go back in previous years, it was all flipped around. The right was more crazy and the left was the more sane one. It's the two-party illusion. Your government is the problem. That's the point. And your radicalized people, whether left or right, are that problem. So when you're talking about extreme leftists, think of it as extreme two-party illusionists. People who are lost in the two-party illusion, who they radicalize to act out. That's what they're doing to QAnon right now. But as Fox News reported, a left-wing activist told, now this is where it's important that if we're talking about left versus right within that illusion, the argument where there were people that were, I would argue, driven to do this or made to do this, who were quote-unquote, not Trump supporters. A left-wing activist who told Fox News last week that he'd followed a pro-Trump mob into the Capitol in order to document the siege is now the subject of a criminal complaint in connection with his alleged participation, which is very clear, and I'll show you the videos of it that nobody in the mainstream will ever talk about. John Sullivan can allegedly be heard egging on protesters in the video. He remains in custody as of right now. So let's go through and look at some of these. So here is a video that is first, as it says here, John Sullivan and Jade Sacker interviewed by Anderson Cooper. So I find that very revealing that this guy is almost instantly on CNN after all of this. I don't know what, I mean, look, that is not by accident. You don't just stumble into a CNN room like right after all this happens. But they describe themselves as, you know, innocent bystanders. Watch what they say first. I make sure you can hear this. So he said, by no means am I there on the MAGA side or the Trump side. So remember that the argument was that this guy was not a, like right off the bat, no, he was there as a Trump supporter. That was the argument. But here he is saying verbatim that that's not the case. I find that interesting. Here is some actual footage of him filming. Now just take a listen right off the bat to what he has to say here. And this is what this is going to be showing you is the fact that he is egging them on, talking about burning it down, all this stuff. So if he's admittedly not a Trump supporter, and you'll see it even further as we go forward, where he's actually caught admitting that he's trying to ramp this up, what does that suggest to you?
Do you know what I'm saying? Like that? There's good people here. Like, they're going to take sides on that. They'd rather let you burn down the Capitol than that. You know what I'm saying? They're going to kill 100,000 people on that shit? Hell no.
So he keeps making this point. Again, they're not going to shoot. They can't shoot us all. They can't do that. I'm not going to play the whole thing, but he says that 15 times.
Just a million. Yeah, you know. Let's get up that shit. Let's go. Shit, I'm ready for that.
And apologize for the cussing. I forgot again. Earmuffs for the children.
We about burned this shit down.
Fight. Yeah. You already know.
By the way, like someone in the chat saying this guy is a founding member of a specific left activist group. Like, that may be true. And I'm only right, and I haven't seen that, but there's plenty of evidence, and you'll see as we finish this out, that this guy is definitely not what he's claiming to be in regard to how he's being represented in regard to the Capitol. But I've seen a lot of different claims he made about what he's associated with. I haven't personally verified it, but you'll see why it's sort of irrelevant. The group, it's clear what he ultimately is.
Y'all, fuck this shit. We taking this by storm. I'm ready. We got enough people for this shit.
No, we can do it.
Why not?
Like, you'll see throughout this whole thing that it seems like there's a lot of people that are kind of just, you know, like, they're laughing, but, like, he seems to be actively throughout the video trying to drive this to happen. Which, by the way, he is. And you'll see that he admits that. Trying to make this happen. Here is the latter part of the video where he is coming out of the building and with this person who was the woman here, Sackler. Oh, well, this video's freezing on me. But the woman I showed you a second ago in this clip that doesn't want to start for me, that and this is her right here again, where they admit that we're not Trump supporters. And here the point is they're coming out and here admitting that they, you know, did this and they succeeded and they can't believe everyone went along with it and so on. Take a listen. She says, you were right, we did it.
I was trying to tell you. I couldn't say much.
You were right.
You just have to watch my chat.
Oh my God.
He said, I couldn't, sketch it in her. He said, I couldn't say much. Right, I mean, clearly, and it gets worse, but the point, like, you couldn't, you're pretending.
Is this not going to be the best film you've ever made in your life? But it's all fake. My face is not on Instagram. I learned that shit already. I'm gonna wear a Trump hat. I bought one today.
Okay, I mean, there's no denying this, guys. He is pretending to be a Trump supporter in order to create violence. This shouldn't be contentious. We have all the evidence in front of us, okay? So what does that ultimately mean? Does that mean that there weren't Trump supporters that were taking part in potential violence and crimes? Obviously not. But that at the end of the day, you need, well, I shouldn't say obviously not. I mean, it's possible that it's all that, but I think clearly you can see, and as I've even heard from people that I know that were there as Trump supporters, that there was plenty of people there that got, which will always happen, by the way. And this is what the people driving this, like CIA types, are, they are very aware that people can be led. Agent provocateurs are successful for that very reason, right? If you go out and break a window, there's going to be at least a few people in the crowd who maybe don't even care about why they're there, and they're just there because it's a party, who will go, screw it, I'm going to go break a window and get away with it. There's always going to be that element in any crowd. Again, I shouldn't say always, but you find people in most places that will be willing to take advantage of a situation. So when this happens, you could argue that there were Trump supporters there that may have been radicalized on platforms by people just like this, or may have been radicalized by their very own ideology, thinking that Trump, wink, wink, really wanted them to do this because QAnon told them that. In any case, these people, in a couple of different circumstances, very clearly seem to be there with the very clear intention to drive violence in order to make the Trump supporters look like they're violent. I mean, that's what they're talking about. Gosh darn it. I don't know why this is freezing on me. I mean, maybe I know why. Let's refresh it and start over. Wow. Gosh darn it. Are you kidding me? Like the one video? That's pretty crazy.
Well, they already broke the window.
Here we go. Let's see if I can get this one to play again. Wow. Apologies, guys. I don't really think this is some kind of nefarious thing. I just think this is freezing. Maybe because a lot of people are watching it. I don't know. I do find that quite frustrating, though. There we go. Ah, gosh, I want to get it up there. One more try, and then let's see. I mean, you heard the important part anyway. I don't want to waste any more time. It's like you can, they put it right here. It's all fake. I learned this today already. He says, I'm going to wear a Trump hat. I bought one today. I was wearing a Trump hat at the last Trump rally and at that Trump rally during the daytime because I was like, nah, that ain't going to happen. He says, oh, yeah, I was a journalist, but I use that line all the time. I'm just a journalist. I am just recording. I've got my camera on my shoulder. Literally, I have my camera on my shoulder right here. Right. To the point that then you can see he says we're out there strapped. We're out ready to go burn that S down, right? This is a guy who is openly trying to create this violence. That shouldn't be denied at this point. The video will be in there for you to continue to watch for yourself. So, going off from that, I mean, just so hope we can all see that that's very clear. Now, you could also argue maybe that that guy made the video and the video is fake, right? You could always go next level and pretend like, we don't know. But the point is, you have to address what's in front of you. Well, you can verify what you can prove. And so far, someone's in the chat asking if the link in the video will be in the show notes. Like every time I literally do a show at any time ever. After we're done. But, yeah, of course, I knew that was going to happen. It starts down here. Let's see if I can get it. Of course not. All right, let me just close that so it'll start again. But, it's very clear. He is there openly with, you know, with another person. Oh, and by the way, I forgot to mention this too, that it's showing, I just saw this part of it live. Apparently the FBI arrested Baked Alaska for his alleged involvement, which I find very interesting. Now, I haven't seen all the stuff that they may be showing, but I would argue he was likely there filming as a journalist. Now, whether or not he got involved is, I can't say. But what I find interesting is remember that there was a CNN journalist right in the hallway, like 5 inches from the very cop who was getting beat up. Why wasn't he arrested? Well, because he's CNN. Well, of course, they're above reproach, even though they're obviously part of a lot of manipulations and I would argue crimes. But so you're guilty by virtue of your job, your ideology, right? So if a person filming there and not committing crimes is now suddenly guilty by just being there, guilty by association, that should also be CNN. You see, that shows you that it's ultimately about who they perceive to be threats or perceive. I mean, it's an objective choice or subjective choice. But as Andy Ngo even points out, Uber previously featured this very person. I'll just play it so you can see it. That's the same guy right there. The BML Capitol Hill suspect, Capitol Hill riot suspect, John Earl Sullivan, in a commercial. He was arrested yesterday and charged with violent entry and disorderly conduct on Capitol grounds and more. Last summer, he was charged over a BLM Antifa riot in Utah, where a person was shot. Right? This is clear. So right off the bat, nobody wanted to acknowledge that there were obviously people there that were not Trump supporters at a Trump rally. And there would be no reason to be there involved with the violence unless you were trying to instigate. Obviously. Here's another tweet, and this is from him himself, saying, "Let's clear the air." And this is another example of showing you very clearly that he's not a Trump supporter, despite him pretending to be, so that these right-wing MF, especially Rudy Giuliani and his band of trumpets, right? You don't speak like that if you're in the middle, right? "He doesn't like Trump supporters. Are coming after me. A black man filming at the Capitol. I was there to document an event of so-called Trump supporters storm the Capitol." Okay, so put together what you just saw. He's there claiming only just to support and just document what they were doing, their so-called storm the Capitol. Yet, on his own film, he's constantly going, "Yeah, yeah, burn it down. Let's get him. They can't stop us." Anybody confused? There is nothing confusing about this whatsoever. This guy was there to instigate violence. That cannot be denied, in my opinion, but I recommend you do the research and come to your own conclusion about it. Now, here's another individual, Aaron Matofsky, son of a Brooklyn judge, who was also arrested at the Capitol riot, at the what happened at the Capitol. And I mean, I the reason I'm even stopping on saying that is because you can't call that a Capitol riot, because the vast majority of people didn't do that. You can call it the Capitol protest, where some ended up rioting. That's fair. But, you know, this is how it always goes. And it's the same way they do in reverse in regard to ones they don't want you to think of as violent, where it's all protesters, despite there obviously being mass violence. It happens on both sides, right? One side's they're both the extreme versions of it, and no one recognizes the middle. But another example of this person, and apparently it's turning out that this person is according to the article, they're saying this individual was a Democrat. But continuing forward, like the Epoch Times reports that the person we were just mentioning in the middle here was a Black Lives Matter activist. And clearly he's admitted to it himself that he's not a Trump supporter. Andy Ngo notes that he's busted for the rally in BLM. Now, Gateway Pundit reported that he was caught on video bragging. We showed you those. But here's the other one we just pointed to. But they're saying that his politics, according to that, he's registered as a Democrat. And there's a link there you can look at for yourself. Even the press is starting to notice that the pieces aren't fitting together. Rather than a picture of all wicked and crazed Trump supporters charging the Capitol, news outlet Bloomberg reported that its survey of various parties involved, including those who died or were arrested, didn't paint the desired picture. Their conclusion? Many of those shown in the news footage had no party affiliation and voted sporadically, if at all. What a pathetic sidestep. Right? I mean, it's just crazy how they are, even when their own narrative is shown to be false, they can't come out and be like, "This is the reality." They just have to waffle about it and be like, "Well, they all voted for Trump, except those over here that voted in different ways that we won't get into." Oh, you mean Democrat? Like, it's just so stupid how willing they are to not be honest with you. Now, look, I would argue that most of the people there were Trump supporters. I think that's pretty clear. And I would also argue that most of them were there to protest. But people like this pushed it. Now, did they start it? Was it because of them it happened? I can't speak to that. But we can see clearly that they drove it, pushed it, made sure that it was happening, or at least made sure that they helped it happen. That's the end of the story. I mean, I don't know why this can be contentious, but it will be, despite the reality, despite the facts. Now, talking about how this all came about, here's a very interesting article from Swiss Policy Research, doing a great job lately. Now, this is not definitive, but you'll see what they get into. And I find this to be very, very important because of what we've already thought, because of what we've already been reporting. And I personally feel that the facts very clearly support. According to Swiss Policy Research, QAnon may have been an FBI psyop. Now, the recent Reuters investigation, as they say, may indicate that QAnon was, in fact, a FBI cyber psychological operation. Now, in November 2020, the Reuters reported that the very first social media accounts to promote the QAnon persona were allegedly linked to Russia. Right? This is when they were trying desperately to use this, the same way they are right now, by the way. Trying to link it to Russia and China and Iran in some way to argue that there were insurgents that actually did this and started the whole thing or maybe just used it or blah, 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 with nothing to back it up. The point being, just like with Iran and 9/11, which they're trying to do again with Al-Qaeda, they tried before, it didn't work, and they're trying it again, just like now. Except now it's not working again. It says, and even backed by Russian government. For instance, by the way, think about how that's as stupid as saying Al-Qaeda works with Iran. So let me get this straight. Russia worked with QAnon to help support Trump, to drive support for Trump. I mean, even if you want to argue that their point was to undermine him and make them act violent. Like, all it did was massively increase his support base. Like, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Other than just blindly trust that Russia tried and, well, Russia's bad. And they didn't do very well, but they tried. Sort of like, you know, thousands of dollars in Facebook ads was an overthrowing the government action. For instance, the very first Twitter account to ever use the term QAnon, it says, on social media had previously retweeted obscure Russian officials, according to Reuters. But it says, but given the recent revelations by British investigator David J. Blake, who for the first time was able to conclusively show at the technical level that the Russian hacking operation was a cyber psyop run by the FBI and FBI cybersecurity contractor, none other than CrowdStrike. That's clear. They were able to conclusively show that the Russian hacking operation that they're claiming was QAnon was actually an FBI psychological operation. And the FBI cybersecurity contractor CrowdStrike was involved. Shouldn't be surprising at all. They're just basically the ones toeing the Russiagate line. The Reuters report may in fact indicate that QAnon was neither a hoax or Russian, but instead a FBI psychological operation. Now, of note, it says, U.S. cyber intelligence firm New Knowledge, who you should remember, founded by former NSA and DARPA employees and tasked by the U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee in 2018 with specifically investigating alleged Russian social media operations relating to the 2016 election, was itself caught faking, as you should remember, a Russian social media botnet in order to influence the 2017 Alabama Senate race. And no, nonetheless, they're still being used and pointed to. Think about how crazy that is. Just like with everything else you show you, people that towed the Iraq WMD line are more, you know, they were actually promoted. People that pointed out it was a lie are no longer in the mainstream media, right? That's how that works. Here they are getting caught doing, carrying out a false flag. Carrying out a, selling you fake information in order to drive their political agendas. And did they get pushed away? Did they lose their job? Did they get shut down? Nope. They're more popular than ever and they're being used even more. And that's the point, is this group is involved with setting up what they're telling you was possibly an FBI psychological operation that is QAnon. It says, if the QAnon persona, similar to Guccifer 2.0 Russian hacker persona, played by an FBI cybersecurity contractor, I don't know why we can't remember, put these things together, was indeed an FBI psychological operation, its goal may have been to take control of, discredit, and ultimately derail the supporter base of the U.S. President Trump. In this case, the QAnon movement, and this is according to Swiss Policy Research, may have been a modern version of the original FBI COINTELPRO program. COINTELPRO program. Which, I don't know why, that seems to be one of the most logical and fact-based analyses of what this is. I recommend you continue to look through this, but I don't even know why anybody would continue to believe what that was. I'm hoping that Trump supporters in particular can recognize that they were manipulated by the very government they thought they were fighting for, so they can recognize that we need change at a level much bigger than they were hoping for. Not Trump, not Biden, not any president, but actually recognizing that we need to change the way this works. Because the criminals are in control. And every time they go, here are you two criminals to choose from. Yeah, well, one's a little less criminal than the other, so you beat the pick. That's what we get every year. And that's democracy! Things like this are why we can't get past it. Because QAnon is used to wrap people back in. Trust the plan. Trust the government. Russiagate was the other side. Right? Trust the real government. These people are Russian assets, so it's our side. Trust our side. Trust the government because the FBI is fighting against these people.
On either side, they had them both trusting the government. And here's where we are. Clearly it worked for them, despite our efforts. And we see this marching forward into exactly what we would expect. Reuters, D.C. Mayor Bowser says city to see, quote, new normal for security after Biden inauguration. Is that surprising to anybody? Dark winter, new normal, all these things, buzzwords are there for a reason. The new normal of security? Why does COVID-19 have anything to do with the Biden inauguration and what happened at the Capitol and having more security? The point is, none of this is, it's about recreating what we are. They are they're breaking it down and rebuilding it how they see fit. It doesn't matter if it's COVID-19 related or not. It's your new normal for everything. I don't know why we can't see that by now. And of course, remember, the new normal involves facial recognition, artificial intelligence, scanners, trackers, all this stuff. But as you've seen, as we've talked about, the FBI, ex-FBI interrogator warns that ISIS could be emboldened by the Capitol riots. Of course they would, right? Because, you know, that ISIS that was very kind of them to just not do anything while we were dealing with all this other stuff. Sort of how Kim Jong-un was really kind of him to just not continue to do his democracy-threatening actions while the government was kind of busy with something else. Very nice of him to do that. Well, now suddenly he's speaking up again, and he's now a threat to our democracy again. Same thing. Suddenly, we're worried about the ISIS that I thought we defeated, though. Oh, who cares about that? We're back on another track now. Could be emboldened by Trump supporters meandering quietly through velvet ropes, and then some people leading another crowd over here to break some doors and windows, and then them unjustly shooting somebody after being let in the building. Like, yeah, that could embolden this group that was created, armed, and funded by the U.S. government. Perfectly adds up. The point is to keep you in your mind. They want this back in your mind again because ISIS, Iran are going to play a role in what they're building for you right now. Fear. And as MF Doom points out, Whitney and your old dunces were right. Again, soon you'll be hearing about Vanilla ISIS, and I completely agree. Again, please follow this account. Seems to be picking up right where T-Lab left off, you know, keeping you up to date with everything I would do. Interesting. It's almost like he's reading my mind. But we can see consent manufacturing for Patriot Act 2 continues. Caitlin Johnstone writes an excellent article. I think I had something I highlighted earlier, but the point was just to remember, this is how this is being built. And she goes in to discuss all of this, discussing how it's really not about any kind of protection. It's about protecting themselves from you. That's what it's about. I mean, they're not even hiding that now. It's pointed inward. And they're manufacturing it just like they do with everything else. Patriot Act 2 is definitely coming. And does anybody is there literally anybody who thinks the Patriot Act was beneficial to Americans? Is there anybody that actually thinks that? I mean, that was one of the most catastrophic pieces of legislation I think we've ever seen in this country. It destroyed and is continuing to destroy what we are or what we thought we are. So let's do another one. Maybe it'll make it better. That seems to be the classic American government mindset. Oh, that one didn't work. Let's try it even harder. That'll work. It's incredible. But to finish this part off, there's an interesting discussion of some, I don't know what you want to call it, some captured notes that were going into the White House. I'm very suspicious about this, by the way. Everything about this seems to be very on purpose. This guy who's, like, I guess, the CEO of a pillow company, which doesn't even make sense why he's there, but he's what the media is saying. Oh, well, he's a Q supporter and he's a conspiracy theorist. And that's why Trump, you know, it just plays perfectly into their narrative. But what's interesting, as it says, photo of Trump ally who visited the White House, they captured some notes about what his thing said. Now, here's the actual picture right here. I'll include this so you can see it, but there's a transcript next to it, so it's easy to read. This was reported by what? The Washington Post, by mainstream. And it seems to interestingly lead into exactly what they want to, or at the very least, kind of give a nod to the Q supporters, as if this is going to be what they hope for. I truly believe they're trying to radicalize this group who's disenfranchised. They want them to act out so they can use them as justifications for what they're trying to do in this country. I really believe that. I mean, I hear from Trump supporters right now, one of which is in my family, by the way, that's saying that if you look anywhere, I mean, anywhere right now on Trump supporting venues and on any of these platforms where people are talking, you know, that are left, by the way, that weren't in this unjustly removed by censorship lords. You look at any of these circles and they are all saying nobody do anything. If you are going out to protest after the 17th, you are being tricked. Do not do it. Everything you're doing is being manipulated. And that's everywhere I look right now. So I argue right now that if you're going to see people out there protesting for Trump's side, my guess is they're probably not Trump supporters. That's just my gut feeling. Because I think right now, the other side, you could argue that, okay, they were saying, we're going to go protest at the Capitol. And then you could argue that some people drove violence, and that would make sense because they're there and you might get pushed and whatever. But on the flip side, if they're saying we shouldn't go do this, if you're going to argue Trump supporters would see that as the kind of the message from the leaders of their movement and would still go out and then cause violence, that doesn't make any sense to me from either side of the two-party illusion. So recognize that. And I think if we do see something, I have a strong feeling that it will be manufactured, just like the rest of it, by the way. But to this point, here's what the notes said, or so we're told is some kind of accidental mistake that he was walking back and forth with. But and by the way, it's only part, so you can't see. I'll read it for what we guess it is. It says now, and they add some things like insurrection that they think it says and so on. Now is acting national security. It says him with getting the evidence of all the, as the election and all information regarding people he knows who already have security, done massive research on these issues. For those on the podcast, remember, this is only half sentences. It says Fort Meade. He is an attorney with cyber and is up to speed on election issues. Now, here's where it gets really interesting, if this is accurate at all. Now, understand, as I understand it in general, I guess this is just his notes that he was given by somebody that they were supposed to bring to Trump because he thought that would help him, right? That's even their own admission. So this should in no way reflect on that they, you know, this is what the government is planning, which I argue they probably are based on what I see here. But remember that this is still something that's being brought to Trump, not necessarily given to this man from Trump. But it says they assume Insurrection Act now as a result of the assault on the Capitol, I would argue. And that makes perfect sense. That's exactly what I told you, exactly what his supporters want, but I think won't happen until Biden's in, and then Biden will do it, which is exactly what I kept telling Trump supporters. Why are you, he's basically in volleyball sense, just setting him up for the spike. Trump is going, here's your Insurrection Act, here's your Defense Production Act, here's your state of emergency, here's everything you need to do what everybody doesn't want to happen. Now, whether he meant to do that or not, that's where we are. Then it goes on to say, martial law, if necessary, upon the first hint of any. Clearly, right? We all, and this could just be getting us all worked up. It could be Washington Post and some PSYOP, you know, propaganda, you know, Smith-Mundt Modernization Act style kind of a thing to get it, to make sure we're worried that if we do act out, they'll hit martial law. In any sense, we know this is very possible because it's what people have already talked about. Then it mentions a bunch of Trump supporting names, Sidney Powell, Bill Olson, Kurt Olson, and it says move Cash Patel to CIA acting. But here's the part that I thought was the most relevant. It says foreign interference in the election. Trigger powers, I would add probably emergency powers, make clear this is China-Iran. And then it says used domestic actors. This is exactly what I'm talking about. They're talking, at some level, some people out there at obviously influential spheres, if they're getting into national security meetings or whatever their meeting was in the White House, that there's an effort to drive the idea that there, and we already showed you multiple tweets from mainstream people, the last show I did, where they're all going, oh, we thought it was Iran that was invading the Capitol based on nothing but their opinion. Why? Now, what they're saying is make clear this is Iran-China, that they use domestic actors to achieve what happened here. Now, I truly believe that that is something that is being floated, even by mainstream media. And it is, by the way. But now that we're seeing this hinted out, predictive programming? I don't really know, but I thought it was worthy of pointing out. But I also want to point this out. Here's the main image from the article, right? Okay, so here's the shot they had. And this is a shot, this is not the same shot you're looking at. They zoomed into the point to where you can see it crystal clear. Yet, this is the main image from New York Times with way more being viewable, right? Way more than half the page being viewable. And they don't zoom in on that one. Why? Why not? Right? It's just something about this is suspicious, but it nonetheless still seems relevant. But as it all boils down, we see what they're driving toward. You're dangerous. If you protest, you're dangerous. If you act like you have some kind of influence over what these people should be doing, you're a terrorist. Despite the fact that technically they're supposed to be your servant. They're supposed to be, you're their constituent. They're supposed to act on your behalf. They're supposed to do what you want. But that's not how this operates. Does anybody think that these people work for us? Anybody have that illusion still? There's Meghan McCain is saying that Capitol rioters, and what she's saying is anybody that was there should be sent to Guantanamo Bay. That's what she is literally arguing. right? This is the same. These are the same people that wanted the Guantanamo Bay shut down when Obama was president every single year, but now they want to use it to send Americans to. Does that make sense to anybody? This is so alarming, and this is exactly what it was always meant to be. Q led this here. Trump led this here, whether he meant to or not. I think that Trump, in being in office, the whole plan was in order to create a scenario where the very people who would have pushed back the most were pacified by the belief that Trump was on their side. And they didn't do anything. They allowed COVID-19 to happen. They allowed martial law to happen. They allowed your lives to be shut down and controlled. And still, they believe that Trump is going to initiate the Insurrection Act and save the day. They literally still think that right now. Some of them, anyway. The ones that I tend to speak to more or less are the ones that are kind of going, okay, I can clearly see this isn't working out. Some of them are still desperately holding on, and that's alarming. But that is the use of these kind of psyops. They trick you. They keep you invested in the wrong direction. Hopefully we can wake up soon and see it. But to finish off on this last point, of course, here's what we're seeing now. Apparently now it's 25,000 troops, right? They couldn't even get the National Guard there. They couldn't even get 3-4 people to man gates during the one that was supposed to be the biggest. And they all told us it was going to be the biggest. They're going to overthrow. They're going to rush in the Capitol. They all told us that. And then nobody was there. Surprise, surprise. But now they claim again that they're in danger. The inauguration's in danger. A virtual inauguration. Let's think that one through. Clearly that's in danger because no one's going to be there. That makes a lot of sense. But they have just milling around 20,000 people. Because when they feel like they're in danger, well, that matters. But here's the point. As really Graceful actually pointed out, why are they not wearing masks and social distancing? And to be clear, I am not saying they should be. Only pointing out that this obligation only seems to apply to us peons. Recognize, I mean, think about how crazy that. Look, they're not wearing anything. They're not social distancing. Why does that not apply? I mean, even you, they got the vaccine. It doesn't matter. They already told you that it doesn't stop transmission. So, look, the point is that this is clearly either that it's not really something they care about, it's just something they want us to do for compliance sake, or there's something different happening in regard to these people, there's any number of possibilities, but it shows you that there's an obvious contrast between what we're being told to do as a matter of life and death and what anybody in these circles are doing. The Burks, the Newsoms, all these people that are getting caught. Cuomo going out and doing exactly what they're telling you can't do, or you're going to be arrested, and they go do it. Remember the 1918 pandemic? You know how that spread? The military. That's a fact. The U.S. military and General Pershing spread it by not caring it was happening. That's easy to look up. So if you believe that's what's happening, here we are. I know, right? Someone says in camo, right? That makes a lot of sense. Camo in the... But nonetheless, guys, every part of this shows you that we're being deceived. If this is actually dangerous and we're all potentially going to die from the biggest pandemic in a century, that would be a huge deal, especially right outside or technically in the Capitol. But it's not, though, and they know that. And getting into the lies about COVID-19 and all the manipulations, there's a really, really important study. A really important study. This I hope people will pay attention to. 2020, from October, informed consent. Disclosure to vaccine trial subjects. Now understand, guys, October. And we know this is there and this has gone forward regardless of this. Informed consent disclosure to vaccine trial subjects of risk of COVID-19 vaccines worsening clinical disease. We've talked about this at length. ADE. We've talked about this over and over. Antibody dependent enhancement. As well as pathogenic priming. Here's what it has to say. Aims of the study. Patient comprehension is a critical part of meeting medical ethics standards of informed consent. The very thing that they clearly don't care about today. The aim of the study was to determine if sufficient literature exists to require clinicians to disclose the specific risk that COVID-19 vaccines could worsen disease upon exposure to challenge or circulating virus. That's what they call the wild virus. This happened with the dengue virus or the vaccine we talked about that Fauci was involved with. Happened with MERS and SARS vaccines. They already tried in the same style they're doing now, and it hurt people. That's why they never succeeded. Guess what? It's happening now too, and they're hiding it from you. Here's what the study found, or it's the result of the study. COVID-19 vaccines designed to elicit neutralizing antibodies may sensitize vaccine recipients to more severe disease than if they were not vaccinated. That's, understand, that's very clear. Vaccines for SARS, MERS, and RSV have never been approved, and the data generated in the development and testing of these vaccines suggest a serious mechanistic concern that vaccines designed empirically using the traditional approach consisting of the unmodified or minimally modified coronavirus viral spike to elicit neutralizing antibodies, be they composed of protein, viral vector, DNA, or RNA, and irrespective of delivery method, may worsen COVID-19 disease via antibody-dependent enhancement. That was found in October. We've been censored for talking about this. Do you still think they care about your health? This risk is sufficiently obscured in clinical trial protocols. This is on PubMed, National Library of Medicine, NIH. They are telling you that the risk is sufficiently obscured. Not missed or accidentally looked over, obscured. That's intentional. Sufficiently obscured in the clinical trial protocols and consent forms for ongoing COVID-19 vaccine trials. By the way, the link I played at the beginning to, or the video to 1976 swine flu, that's exactly what happened. They lied. They gave you consent forms that did not fully understand, show you what really happened. The fact that they switched the vaccines out at the last moment and used one that wasn't tested properly and it hurt people. The literature showed it would cause severe reactions, and it did. And they got, and no one cared. So here they are again, doing the same thing, obscuring sufficiently on purpose your protocols and your consent forms for ongoing COVID-19 vaccine trials, which are still ongoing, by the way, that adequate patient comprehension of this risk is unlikely to occur, meaning they won't be properly informed with consent, or they won't probably be informed, obviating truly informed consent by subjects in these trials. Conclusions. The specific and significant COVID-19 risk of ADE. Let me say that again. The specific and significant risk from COVID, the significant and specific COVID-19 risk of ADE, antibody-dependent enhancement, should have been and should be prominently and independently disclosed to research subjects currently in vaccine trials, which, by the way, everyone is right now who's taking the vaccine. That's a fact, by the way, regardless of whether they say that or not. Informed consent about what's in this and what it can cause is important to everybody, whether in a trial or not. It says, as well as those being recruited for these trials and future patients after the approval, which is where we are now. And it's not happening. And by the way, it's not actually approved. We haven't even gone through any of these properly at all. They combined them all and pretended like we're rushing through it and it didn't actually properly go through it. And I'll show you another example of that. In order to meet the medical ethics standard of patient comprehension for informed consent. They are telling you in their finding that they did not properly inform people of the risk of antibody-dependent enhancement, that it will possibly increase dramatically your risk of disease. Why would they not tell you that? Well, because that causes vaccine hesitancy, and the truth is more dangerous than you not getting a vaccine. They've already decided that. They said that in Event 201. They said that in the media, basically, and they've been doing that ever since. They'll fail to report the side effects, which we'll go through next, which are horrifying, because they fear you'll stop getting the thing that's very dangerous. Because you probably would, because it's very dangerous. Crazy. Here's the actual full study, which I hope you'll read entirely. It's very important. But the acknowledgments I want to point out, supported by the NIH award. How great is that? It's the NIH award. And it's to TC, which is the author of the study, Timothy Cardozo. So the very person who did the study in October who said these vaccines are potentially causing some very serious side effects and they aren't letting people know that was given an award by the NIH. But still, they didn't tell you about it. That's because that would have come out and it would have been hard to be like, that's a crazy conspiracy theorist that was awarded an award by the NIH. Like, they can't do that. So they pretend it's not there. There's no way you can pretend that the media is caring about what's right for you or what's safe for you if they're not informing you about things like this. But we know that by now. The reason I even say stuff like that anymore is for the people that are new to the show. It's sickening how obvious this is. Now, I want to point this out because of this point, right? We are not being fully informed. That's actually a crime. But at the very least, malfeasance of the government remember that as we're realizing this, in 2005, the Universal Declaration on Bioethics and Human Rights was created by UNESCO, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. This is international law. The UN. And it says very clearly, in regard to, there's a lot in here you should read, but in regard to Article 3, Human Dignity and Human Rights, again, it says the interest and welfare of the individual should have priority over the sole interest of science or society. That's not hypothetical. That's not, it's a period. That's the case. You and your body is more, you don't get, they don't get to say, well, it's for the benefit of science, so you don't get to argue. Or it's for the benefit of our society, so you have to get the shot, which has happened in our history. That does not count. What you're staring at is the law, which everyone's agreed to, yet the U.S. government and plenty of them just don't care. Why? Because danger. Except that doesn't get to work. They just don't care about the law. They're off the rails. Your individual rights are more important than the sole interest of society or science. But here's the most important part under consent. It says, they're talking about any kind of thing, diagnostic, therapeutic, medical intervention, any of it. By the way, that includes masking, by the way. That's a medical intervention. But they don't care. But it says, the consent should, where appropriate, be expressed and may be withdrawn by the person concerned at any time for any reason without disadvantage or prejudice. Meaning that you're able to go, I don't want that. Because I said so. Because I don't like the way you look. I don't like the way you're dressed today. So I'm not going to get it. It doesn't matter. Anytime for any reason. And the bigger point is without disadvantage or prejudice. So they aren't allowed, technically, legally speaking, to say, well, you can't go on the plane. Well, you can't go in the store. But they're doing it anyway. And just to be clear, as I always point out, they reiterate this for a second time. It says it right there, but even this in the very next paragraph. Consent may be withdrawn by the person concerned at any time for any reason without disadvantage or prejudice. There's a reason they make sure that's repeated. Your government doesn't care. And in fact, as we now know, as a matter of fact, they really don't care because they're hiding what's really going on from you. And this study found that out. There is a specific and significant COVID-19 risk of antibody-dependent enhancement that should have been and should be prominently and independently disclosed to research subjects, but it wasn't. They hid this information from you. And, well, let's see what's happening because of it. Well, unexpected string of allergic... And by the way, I'm starting at the less severe. So bear that in mind as we go through. Unexpected string of allergic reactions causes delays at Vaccination Superstation, which was, by the way, Disney was one of those. Remember, this one is near Petco Park or Petco Park. Here's the funny part about this, or disgusting, really. The idea that the story should be, well, there's a huge and alarming, or not huge, but there's an alarming surge of allergic reactions. But the real story is that it caused delays for vaccines. Like, that is literally how they frame this. You'll see what I mean. Allergic reactions in some Moderna's vaccine recipient caused delays Wednesday at San Diego's county's new vaccination superstation. You would expect them then to go into let's hear about the things that went wrong. Well, no, they go into, well, just after 11, they confirm that some people were waiting for their vaccines. Oh, no, at the site and were experiencing delays. Others said they had been turned away. Gasp. That's where they're going with this. They reached out to those running a station. A representative said the delay was about an hour long due to the logistical issue. Oh, logistical issues. You mean like adverse reactions that were shutting you down? Yeah, we'll just kindly call those logistical issues. Having to do with some doses of vaccine arriving at the location. During the county's weekly COVID-19 briefing, Dr. Eric McDonald, director of the epidemiology for the county, said vaccinations were slowed down, finally, after allergic reactions were detected in 6 vaccine recipients. Right. So the more important part of the story is that we had to slow down, not stop, but slow down giving people vaccinations. And we just casually ignored the string of 6 different allergic reactions in one sitting. As it says, that amount seen Wednesday was slightly higher than expected for that time period. So they slowed down the vaccinations so they could investigate, not stop. No. We wouldn't stop. We don't know what's going on, but we're going to keep pumping you full of it until we know for sure, because that's safe. Right. That makes sense. Their continual absurd argument is that you're in so much danger because of the thing that kills basically nobody under 70 that we need to make sure this thing is done even if it's dangerous for you, because that's how dangerous COVID is. That is the argument. We're doing this dangerous thing because you're in danger, which is really stupid. 0.05% under 70 years old. That's directly from CDC information. And then you include the fact that they're mixing in pneumonia and influenza deaths, PIC, which is what it's called, pneumonia, influenza, and COVID, which is how they report the mortality deaths for all of them combined. And then you would count in the PCR test with a huge false positive rate, as Dr. Scoglio points out, even possibly 95% if it's over 35 cycle threshold, which is what most of them are. That makes it obscenely smaller than even 0.05. But nobody wants to point that out. Nonetheless, you're in so much danger that we're not even going to pause when we see this kind of thing happen. We're just going to slow it and keep pumping your arms full of the thing that might actually be causing what we're dealing with. Crazy. It's too early to investigation to know exactly what happened. Of course, they say it every time. They also follow it up by going, but we don't think it is, though. Always. Because that's insulting. You know why? Because they don't go, well, it might be, but it also might not be. They always go, it might not be, though. That's it. They're driving you in that direction. It gets worse. 13 Israelis suffer facial paralysis after taking COVID vaccine jab amid influx of reports detailing adverse effects. This is outrageously high, and they're pretending like it's just normal and we're overblowing it. Makes me sick. At least 13 Israelis have experienced facial paralysis after being administered the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine a month after the U.S. FDA reported similar issues, but said they weren't linked to the jab, right? They keep doing that. If this happened every day for a week and they kept going, well, it's okay because it's not linked to the jab. And every time it happens after the jab, would you start to go, maybe they're just lying to us? It's so very clear that some of these, whether they can prove the connection or not, which is crazy that they have to verifiably prove it, even though with a COVID death, it can be their assumption for your safety, though. This is dangerous. Why isn't this for our safety? Shouldn't we stop everything just to be sure that we're not being killed with this? No, because COVID, because fear. It's the same. It's a double standard. The clear reality is that this thing is more dangerous, in my opinion, than what we're talking about today. At least 13 people have reported mild facial paralysis after receiving the Pfizer-BioNTech jab, Israeli outlet reported, citing the health ministry, adding that officials believe the number of those cases could even be higher. And it says, quote, for at least 28 hours, this is an individual saying they walked around with facial paralysis. One person who had the side effect told this to the outlet. It says, I can't say it was completely gone afterwards. But other than that, I had no other pains except a minor pain where the injection was. But there was nothing beyond that. Yeah, nothing beyond a 30-hour facial paralysis that kind of doesn't go away at the end. Yeah, no big deal there. The unnamed individual noted, though, that the unpleasant reaction was something rare. And stressed that it was important that people get vaccinated. God, that's how brainwashed people are. However, he conceded that he wasn't going to get the other shot, though. Isn't that great? You should get it for the betterment of everybody, but I'm not going to get the other one, though, because that sucked. Right? Like, it's just, people are crazy. Like, this is schizophrenic. People are literally broken, where they can argue one thing out of one side of their mouth and then say the exact opposite, and that somehow makes sense. That's what this social engineering is doing. It is breaking people's minds. Israel's health ministry has stated that it is safe to administer the second shot. Right? Who cares about it? It's safe. Don't worry. It's safe. They can just keep saying it's safe. It doesn't make all the things that are happening not happening. But they'll come out and go, don't worry. It's safe because Pfizer told us so. Provided the facial paralysis passes and there are no lingering long-term effects. So they're going, don't worry. It's safe as long as that doesn't keep going. Meaning you're being tested to see if it keeps going. You're the guinea pig. But some Israeli medical experts have chosen to ignore this advisory. Big surprise. Just like everybody else. So, don't get it if you're pregnant because we haven't tested it. And then you get pregnant nurses going out and saying, I'm doing this for everybody and my baby. Either they're that ignorant or they're brainwashed. Same thing here. They just don't care. Don't cares about the reality. Now, since last month, the FDA disclosed that Bell's palsy, a form of temporary facial paralysis, was reported by 4 participants. Remember that. During phase 3 trials, which was really phase 1, bunched with everything else, of the Pfizer vaccine. All 4 cases involved individuals who had been given the actual jab. There were no reports of paralysis among the control group that received a placebo. And yet, they said it was a numerical imbalance, or noted the numerical imbalance of Bell's palsy cases among the vaccine. But they keep going on to say that it's ultimately consistent with the expected background rate of the general population. That's it. And we walk away as if nothing happens, and we see another example of Bell's palsy. Oh, no, we don't even know for sure. And we see another one. And now we have heard of 13 people in Israel going, oh, I have facial paralysis, which is essentially Bell's palsy in the face. And we're still going, well, we don't know for sure. They'll say that forever until we force them to acknowledge the reality. Ultimately, the U.S. drug regulator concluded that the issue was consistent with expected background rate in the general population. It's just so insulting. But in Norway, which you probably have seen, 29 people have died after the vaccine. And so far, 55 Americans have died following the COVID vaccination. Have you heard that in the mainstream media? Probably not. Amid increasing calls for suspension of the use of the mRNA-based COVID-19 vaccinations produced by companies like Pfizer, especially among elderly people, the situation in Norway has escalated significantly. And they've now registered 29 deaths of people over 75 with just their first COVID vaccine. As Bloomberg reports, this adds 6 to the number of known fatalities in Norway and also lowers the age group thought to be affected from 80. Right? So it continues to show you that it's not just about that they want it to be about the phone. Well, they're old, so they're probably going to die anyway. Well, by the way, that's exactly the same correlation with COVID-19. As Swiss Policy Research pointed out, the death mortality for COVID-19 almost perfectly aligns with natural mortality, meaning that when you step out your front door, you always have a threat of being killed from something falling, from a car hitting you, from lightning, from any number of things. And their point is that your risk of dying from COVID aligns exactly with your threat of living your normal life. No one has even tried to argue against that. That's the truth. But they go, well, just because we're in danger. The reality is that you're really not. If you're extra sick and over 70, then you have an increased potential risk. And that is the point. You also do with life. If you're over 70 with lots of comorbidities, your death chance in life increases. And that was their point. This is all a big illusion. Doesn't mean there's not something there, but the point is that this is an illusion. They are lying about the whole picture here. There are 13 deaths that have been assessed, and we are now aware of another 16 that are currently being assessed. Crazy. Elderly people with serious basic disorders. Most people have experienced the expected side effects of the vaccine, which I still think is crazy. The expected side effects. It says most people, nausea, vomiting. The fact that you're throwing up after this vaccine and most everyone's doing that is not normal. That's not okay. Nausea, fever, local reactions on the injection site, vomiting. I mean, that's crazy. Norway's experience has prompted the country to suggest that COVID-19 vaccines may be too risky for the old and terminally ill, which, by the way, is the exact group that the, quote, science shows are actually at risk from the virus. Isn't that interesting? So the very group that are at most risk are the people that are at most risk from the vaccine. Funny, isn't that? It's almost as if they're aiming at those people with everything they're doing. Pfizer and BioNTech are working with the Norwegian regulator to investigate the deaths of Norway, Pfizer said in an email. I'm so glad that the company with a profit motive on hiding how this works out is involved in the investigation. That always seems to happen, isn't it? Saudi Arabia murders Yemenis and they go, yeah, we're investigating ourselves and we found ourselves not guilty. That's not a joke. That happens every time. So here we are. Let us know, Pfizer, if your vaccine's dangerous for us, which will affect your bottom line. But let us know. Let's see what you say. Oh, guess what they said? The agency found that the number of incidents so far was not alarming and in line with expectations. Well, that is incredibly alarming. So that many deaths are in line with your expectations? People vomiting after every shot, that's in line with your expectations? Well, that's crazy alarming. 55 people in the United States have died after the vaccine, or after a COVID-19 vaccine, according to reports submitted by the two Bayer's federal system. Now, in addition to the deaths, people have reported 96 life-threatening events following COVID-19 vaccinations, as well as 24 permanent disabilities, 225 hospitalizations, 1,388 emergency room visits. If everything that happens after you get tested positive, allegedly, with a PCR test, if every action matters after that, well, so does everything that happens after this. But you won't be told about this stuff. Health experts from Wuhan, China called on Norway, which I find this very interesting, and other countries to actually suspend the use of mRNA-based COVID vaccines. That Wuhan, China is saying you should stop using this RNA vaccine, which is what I'm most concerned with, produced by companies such as Pfizer. Now, I would argue whether they believe that or not, that's beneficial for China to do. Because yet again, from our perspective, we're going, yes, yes, we agree with that. Anybody who's being honest with themselves agrees, whoever is saying it, that we should stop using these things right now because of how many things are happening. But what, does China actually believe that? I don't even know. But I do know, as a matter of fact, that both Russia and China and all these groups, they play this game. They know when to speak up when they see. I mean, it's the same thing the U.S. does. When China does something terrible, the U.S. speaks up and goes, "That's terrible, and no one should be okay with that." But the U.S. does what they're pointing to every other day. They're speaking up because they want the Chinese people to see it and go, "Yay, the U.S. is trying to help us." It's the same thing. So does China care about us? I argue no, like any other government. But nonetheless, what they're stating is correct, and that's alarming. We should stop these things. China's Global Times reports Chinese experts. I thought I was going to say experiments, said the death incident should be assessed cautiously to understand whether the death was caused by the vaccines or other pre-existing conditions. Again, why would that even be contentious? And I argue that's why they probably want China to say it. So Americans will go, "No, China, that we shouldn't listen." That's how childishly ignorant some people are right now. China, bad guy. So we're going to, you know, and China government is very alarming. But to just arbitrarily dismiss anything because China, that's childish. That's how a lot of people are today. But the health experts are calling for suspension, too, of the Pfizer vaccination among elderly after all of these deaths. Which is interesting because we've continued to see a little bit of difference, you know, in the Norwegian countries, primarily Sweden. Denmark seems to be lost, all right, going way along the path. But it's interesting to see the pushback. But I think this comes to, I mean, some level that you're going to get pushback from the individual on the ground, your own people. And if they're dying at that high of a rate, I mean, it's expected. Now, the WHO is following a probe into this report, which even makes it more relevant. We've had reports of all kinds of stuff happening. The fact that the WHO is stepping up to go, "We have to look into this." There's something going on here. Now, the agency reckoned that the deaths could be linked to the normally mild side effects of the vaccine. See what I mean? Why would you say that? You don't know anything about what's going on, right? So you could just as easily stand up and say, the vaccine could be linked to these deaths. It could be, just like it could not be. But all you do is stand up and say, it might not be linked to the vaccine. Why? Because they have a vested interest in the vaccine. I don't know why that's not clear. What the point is, you should say nothing. You should say, I'm going to look into this and I'll let you know what I find. But when you start off by saying it's probably not, you're leading people. And that's because they're afraid. Whether he believes that this thing is good and righteous and altruistic, no matter what, because that's what a lot of these, you know, scientism, vaccine, religion, it's a religion. The science doesn't really even matter. It's if you question the religion of vaccines, then you're a dangerous person. So here he is going, no, but there might not be, though. It might not be. Because he either thinks that or he knows that's his job to push that agenda. But in the sense, we don't know. But he's telling you one thing without even investigating. I wonder what he'll find. But going forward, according to Defender, and this is accurate, a tip of the iceberg, thousands of COVID vaccine injuries. And I already showed you the VAERS program or the system for you to submit. And I hope you're keeping track of that. But it says, now this is 13 deaths. This was only in December, and this was before the most recent numbers, and I'll show you those next. And reported, and this is December alone. Thousands. In December alone, 3,916 COVID vaccine-related adverse events, including 13 deaths, which were now actually 55, and I'll show you next, were reported to VAERS. As more adverse events ranging from life-threatening anaphylaxis to death occur, it will be tougher to sell the experimental injections, which are why they're keeping it from you, I argue. And it says, as Children's Health Defense Chairman Robert F. Kennedy Jr. wrote on December 18th to the co-chair of the new COVID-19 advisory board, VAERS has been an abject failure, with fewer than 1% of the adverse events ever reported, according to a federal study, which you can read for yourself. So think about this. If fewer than 1% of these actual side effects are even being reported, and we're already seeing this many side effects, imagine how many are actually happening. Remember the woman I showed you who was allergic to bee pollen? And she was having an allergic reaction to the shot, and she almost left because she didn't want to get into it. She was afraid how it would be perceived. Remember that? That's what the media is doing to these people. They're so afraid of having to deal with the fact that they are having a side effect that they were convinced wasn't going to happen, that they're going to hide it from people. And she would have died if the nurse wouldn't have made her stay. That's her own admission. So because the media manipulated her into thinking that this was conspiracy theory, and if it's happening, then you must be convincing yourself, and you're wrong, that she was allowing herself to potentially die to cover up the side effects that were happening to her. It's incredible. Under 1% of the actual side effects, according to the government's own study, are being reported to this system right now. And it also points out that the system itself is flawed because it's a passive surveillance system. The idea that, you know, it relies on the willingness of people to take the effort to do so. What if, you know, people that, you know, have serious effects, but they're deal with it, they don't die, and they kind of just keep forward, they don't want to have to deal with it. That happens. People that just vomit all day, but never really get too sick, like, okay, well, I'll deal with it. There's all kinds of stuff that doesn't get reported because it's on you. They know that. It was set up like this on purpose. Now, Alex Berenson once again points out the reality of the website itself. Now, you can look at this. The links are here. Here's the image itself. 55 deaths. And understand, as usual, it's reported. That's what they see. And that's how they use it on the other side, too. If only 1% of people are actually reporting it, they know that it's way under. But then they also come around the other side and go, well, we can't prove they're just reporting it, so they could be wrong. So that means none of it matters is the sort of the way they play it. Because all of them are suspect because we haven't proven it, right? But as he says, CDC's released its updated batch of reported COVID vaccine side effect data through January 8th, when roughly 6.6 million doses have been administered, and it's not good. Reported deaths per dose are now running at 85 times per dose of the flu vaccine. And ER trips, 35 times. That's comparing it to the flu vaccine. Now, there are those arguing underneath this discussion that his comparison to per dose is irresponsible because you have other things that could have caused it. Well, that's, of course, the point is that there's always things they try to attribute it to. They do the same thing with the flu. So, as always, take this for what you will. Do your own research and read into it deeper. But I agree with this. It says these figures likely are underestimates for several reasons. The number of vaccinations is rising so quickly, reports will lag. He says they use the last day number of shots given as the denominator. For example, reported deaths rise 5 times week over week. That's crazy. While vaccinations rose only 65%. Unlike other countries, the U.S. has prioritized healthcare workers who are younger. The Norwegian data suggests deaths are much, much more likely to follow vaccinations in the elderly, which, now you think about it, was maybe why they tried to make it not happen in the beginning, like they usually do. This is nearly all the first dose, which is also crazy, and the second dose has side effects at 3 to 10 times the first. They all admitted that, remember? They admitted that the second shot was going to be exponentially more severe, but they made it out to be that it wouldn't be, you know, that the first ones would be mild, the second ones would be just a little bit more. If this is what we're seeing with the first dose, 3 to 10 times that, I can only imagine how horrifying that's going to be. And I'm just pleading with people out there to listen to this, do your research, and make an educated, informed decision. And it's actually mainly the Pfizer shot, it's saying. Moderna's shot has more side effects. But I think the deaths are more specifically from the Pfizer vaccine. Now, another example of this, just we've already reported on you know, generally the side effects. And we've repeatedly reported on James Lyon Weiler and how the speech we played for you, I've played it numerous times, where he points out the fact that there's 21% in regard to side effects. And what I want to show you here, first of all, is that he made this claim, and he's right, by the way, and they fact checked him. French press agency comes out and says he's lying. Basically, the first thing they wrote was that they argue that he pulls this 21 number out of nowhere and tries to make him out to be fake and manipulator, right? Well, he pushed back and he won. It says, as a result of the groundswell of people hammering the AP, the French press agency fact check, the non-peer-reviewed website has now updated the title to their article. And it now reads, excuse me, researcher's speech used to mislead COVID-19. So they still can't admit that they were wrong. The whole article is about claiming that he pulled it out of nowhere. Then he sends them the data that proves what he's saying, and they just take that part out and argue that, well, it's correct, but that truth is misleading people, which is what they do. Just like the side of a box of masks, you can state exactly what it says, and somehow that is misleading because it's literally what the box says, but because they don't like it, because you secretly mean something else. No, you don't get to do that. It's very clear, but this is how they manipulate it. They won't even admit they're wrong. But if you read it, by the way, even James Lyon Weiler, being the gentleman that he is, actually, as he says, he deleted the professor's name that was calling him out as a professional courtesy. How kind of him, because you know what we should be doing is saying, you know what? You were wrong, bud. You got it wrong. And you were screaming about how I was wrong. And you need to admit that to people. Be a grown up and admit it, but he won't. Even James is removing his name out of a courtesy, and they still won't admit that I called you out and I was wrong. They won't do that. This is the lesson here, of course, is that fact-checking is unscientific. Exactly. It is not based on peer review, and people establish websites and proclaim themselves keepers of the truth often do not have sufficient checks and balances built into their determination of facts, like Snopes, the couple in their apartment, right? When that happens, they confuse their own opinions with facts. My article below is now updated to exclude the name of the person that called him out, the professor who no longer does not know where the 21 was coming from, which is what the point was. Anyway, I hope you'll read this for yourself and realize that there's momentum here. With people like James who are pushing back, there's things shifting. And the hope is that we will eventually see through it. But again, how insulting it is that they're, with all the dangerous things, 21% he's pointing out, all the different side effects, people dying, all this stuff happening, and this is what they're doing. I wonder why. Get a free bag of marijuana with your COVID vaccine. Wait a minute. I thought marijuana was really dangerous and we were all going to die if we did that. Oh, but who cares about that old lie now? We're going to use that thing that you like now to push the thing we really want. Do you not realize how insulting this is? Our government has spent the 100 years driving into us that marijuana is so dangerous, more dangerous than methamphetamine, more dangerous than cocaine, more dangerous, the most dangerous thing ever. And obviously we all know it's fake. We all should know by now that that is a big stinking lie. Always was. And they knew it was. It's even worse. But they never stopped pushing it. Even in Trump's administration, people like Sessions are talking about pushing back and making it more criminal. And it's just, it's absurd. But now, because they are using another agenda, suddenly they're going to just give you free marijuana if you get a vaccine. Sort of like we talked about a free Waffle House dinner or a free beer. You get a free beer. Go and get your vaccine, your incredibly dangerous experimental injection at the bar. Yay. How about instead at the cannabis dispensary? That sounds very medical, right? It's just insulting that how obviously, and look, if this was something that everybody needed because we're in danger, they wouldn't need to coerce you in every way possible. And I also argue that the reason they're doing this is to reach the people like, you know, the youth, the people that are aware of their BS and hoping that, well, if we just give them beer, food, and marijuana, they may just take it anyway. That should scare the hell out of you. Oh, and in India, by the way, they're starting the world's biggest vaccine drive. Who cares about all the evidence that we've known for this whole time? Who cares that they're investigating deaths and all these things are happening? Let's just kick it into overdrive and kick it into more people before we realize what's really going on. Hopefully you're smarter than that. Well, here is an insulting article that I had to go over that I just couldn't believe. This is a mainstream article that is flat out lying to you. Now, I don't know if Brittany Johnson is just not that bright and doesn't care and is reporting what she's told, or if she is actively lying for an agenda. I don't really know. But let's go through and you can see for yourself that this is just straight up disinformation. COVID-19 vaccine questions. Can I test positive after getting the shot? What if I've already had COVID? Now, first question. Well, first of all, it says that they've continued to be administered. The vaccine is still going out. KCRA's Brittany Johnson has been tracking all of the questions and, you know, basically getting back to you. Now, can you test positive for COVID-19 if you've already received the vaccine? Well, the answer to that is probably yes. Here, let me highlight this real quick so you can see what I'm highlighting. The answer is probably yes, but not 100% certainty. That's great. That's good. So you can even test positive if you had the vaccine. How does that even make sense? Because there's far more going on and the test is uncertain and it's based on misinformation. And they've already said if you got the common cold or you've had this before or any number of realities that you... So the point is the test doesn't really mean anything. That's why they're using it. As I pointed out, we've seen examples of a different study that said that this test was wildly inaccurate. We've also seen examples of the test being shown to produce extremely high false positives. Over and over and over, we've seen this. We have the epidemic that wasn't in 2007, I believe, with whooping cough, where the doctors openly stated the reason this happened, even though they had not a single case of whooping cough, and they had a quarantine for 8 months, or a situation for 8 months where they closed hospitals, they gave people vaccines and antibiotics, and all these poor people were shut aside and quarantined in their rooms because they thought they had whooping cough. 8 months it went on, not a single case. Why? He said the PCR test, our over-reliance on the PCR test created this and we should look further into that. Guess what they did? Not look further into it. Or they did and they realized, that can be used. In any sense, here we are today using that same test, even though numerous people have pointed out it is the exact way to create a false pandemic. Shocking, right? But she says, let me try to explain that in a little different, more detail. We know, she says, we know that the vaccine prevents the disease from occurring in 95% of people. What? Is that what we know? Anybody out there want to school Brittany on the truth? We know that, do we? Well, let's take a quick dance back to this article from September that I pointed out right when this started. This was the article I pointed out telling you that these vaccines were designed to succeed in the trials. They weren't actually safety trials. And this was pointed out when they began. But just a couple of points to see. I want to first point out, as it says, we recognize that influenza vaccine does not prevent infection with the virus, but does have a measurable impact, which I argue most people don't even know. Right now, the influenza vaccine does not prevent infection. Did you know that? It only reduces the virus. Why? Well, that way you have to get it every year, right? I bet you didn't know that. It's funny how those things are driven for profit motive reasons, but going forward, these trials certainly do not give assurance the vaccine will protect from serious consequences. Now, and this isn't even about stopping it. We're talking about, if they're talking about reducing mild symptoms, but the actual studies even show they do not protect from serious consequences. I pointed this out in the very beginning. Johnson & Johnson is the only trial that requires the inclusion of severe COVID cases, at least five for the 75 participants in the interim analysis. One of the more immediate questions a trial needs to answer is whether a vaccine prevents infection. If someone takes this vaccine, are they far less likely to become infected with the virus? These trials all clearly focus on eliminating symptoms of COVID-19 and not infections themselves. Why? Because Tal Zaks openly admitted from Moderna that the government didn't give them money to do it. If they would have been funded to do so, well, they would have done so, but they didn't. They funded the trial they needed to get done with the trial, with the safety trials. They're the fake ones. The reality is that if they would have just given them more money for a larger trial, it may have taken longer, but they would have been able to find out whether it actually did. They chose not to. I don't know why that's not one of the biggest points in this whole discussion. Your government made a conscious choice to not make sure these vaccines could stop transmission. Now, again, going back to the flu vaccine. Maybe it's because they recognize a profit model. What do you think? Asymptomatic infection is listed as a secondary objective in these trials when they should be a critical importance. It appears that all the pharmaceutical companies assume that the vaccine will never prevent infection. You hear that? That's a fact, by the way. And now that's actually confirmed by what they've said now that they're, you know, quote unquote, done, even though they're still ongoing. Their criteria for approval is the difference in symptoms between an infected control group and an infected vaccine group. They do not measure the difference between infection and non-infection as a primary motivation. None list the prevention of death and hospitalization as a critically important barrier. Why? That's incredible to me. If total infections, hospitalizations, and deaths are going to be ignored in the preliminary trials of the vaccines, then there must be phase 4 testing to monitor their safety and efficacy. I mean, they're claiming we're in 3, but we know they really just bunched these together and rushed through it. And he's openly stating that if that's the case, which by the way it is, there should be a phase 4. We're so far past that. Emergency use has already been given, and they're pushing it forward, and they're already skipping past it. It's not going forward. You are being tested right now in the real world. It appears that these trials are intended to pass the lowest possible barrier of success. As this is being written, the FDA is posed to announce tougher standards for a COVID vaccine in the near future. Guess what didn't happen? That. It is my hope that these new standards for an emergency use authorization will, at a minimum, include requirements for protections from infection itself, protections from severe virus-related disease leading to hospitalization, and a significant improvement in COVID-19 reality-related mortality. Guess what didn't happen? That. No new standards were given. They just gave the emergency use, and here we are. Now, one last point on this. Here's Tal Zaks in general giving a TED talk. I want to make sure we understand that this concept of this, I mean, the reason I even added this, I saw today another article saying, no, this doesn't even come near your DNA. It doesn't even affect your DNA at all. And this is fundamental. Oops, hit my microphone. This is fundamentally false. I've shown you this so many times over. Here is Tal Zaks. This is from Moderna, the CEO of Moderna, telling you. I mean, look, it says right here, by the way. It says right in the bio of this video, Talzax may have the biggest breakthrough yet. His idea to go straight to the source of the problem and edit the genetic code that causes the body to produce cancerous cells. This is the technology they're using for COVID-19 right now. As they scream at you that, no, we're not editing your genetic code. Here's what he literally just said. Or that's what he just said. But listen to what he's saying here in regard to how he describes the editing of your genetic code. Take a listen.
And I'm here today to tell you that we're actually hacking the software of life.
In case you couldn't hear it, if it's too low, you can see it right there. I'm here today to tell you that we're actually hacking the software of life and that it's changing the way we think about prevention and treatment of disease. So if you're hacking the software of life and if you're altering and editing,
changing the way we think about,
and altering and editing your genetic code, why won't this zoom back out? I can't get it to zoom back out. Jiminy Christmas. Hold on. This friend of my dad always says that. Okay, well, whatever. I don't know why that won't zoom back out. I'm telling you, man, there's so many things going on weird for me right now. But got the point across, so too bad for you guys or people that are trying to mess with me. I'm just being facetious. But how can you argue that hacking the software of life and editing the genetic code are not manipulating your genetic code or your DNA? The reality, guys, is that that's obviously not the case. Jiminy, that won't go back down. Whatever. So, let me pull this back out. I find it really incredible that this is how obvious they're lying to you, right? I mean, really take a moment and wrap your mind around how willing they are to just flat out tell you dishonest truths. Or deceive you. I mean, it's constant. And they are saying things, back to this point here, that we know aren't true. We know as a matter of fact, as they've already stated, and you can look it up everywhere, that she's claiming that you will, 95% of people, if you get the vaccine, will not get the disease. That is a complete lie. It says, which means 5% could actually still get it. Nope, you're still wrong. All it does is reduce the level of symptoms. So whether you're talking about catching the disease, or whether you're talking about, you know, having the virus present or catching the disease, no matter how you're looking at it, it is talking about a minor reduction in the symptoms you catch from having it in general. That's it. Not stopping it, just minorly reducing the symptoms and not even the severe ones, as we just pointed out. But she is happily lying. I take that back. Technically, it is Dr. Cohen who is lying to you, but nonetheless. Nonetheless, we're talking about her article and her selling this to you. What we don't know is whether the vaccine actually totally prevents infection or whether it just prevents disease, which again is a deception. You don't prevent disease if you're still sick. They want it to sound like that. Like if you're talking about preventing disease, that would mean you technically still have it in your body, but you're not technically showing it, or you haven't actually been infected with it. In any sense, none of that's true. We just showed you. So you will be able to, on a blood test, to determine that you have developed antibodies, which is the immunity that the vaccine provides you. Again, no. I mean, yeah, that's the argument. I haven't seen that actually verified, but we know that you will also get that if you just simply catch something and go and deal with it. But they won't let you know that. But on a nasal swab or a nasal pharyngeal swab, it is possible that you could still have the coronavirus present in your nasal sections. What? Because it's not doing anything. Think about how crazy it is. They're telling you that you can still have this present in your body, but this vaccine will stop you from getting it. And this is, again, the difference between disease and infection. But it says those data will eventually be available and we'll be able to answer that question more definitively. Oh, good, because we're testing it in your body and we'll tell you after we complete the testing, which is your body. How do we miss that? But it says the point right now is I cannot guarantee that it will totally prevent the infection. I mean, it's not that they're trying to be confusing. Are coronavirus vaccines going to be like the flu shot that we have to get yearly? The answer is yes. I can tell you that right now. He says, I'm thinking that it will be something like that. That right there is probably a shock to a lot of people. They've already floated that. But again, people are arguing like this will be back to normal. Just get the vaccine so we can go back to normal. That's what you're hearing. Even as they're telling you that's not happening. Even as they're flat out saying we won't go back to normal. You still have all these people parroting the, what, or, you know, on the side of the argument saying just do it so we can go back to normal. It's like they just don't want to hear it. And he's telling you right there, I'm thinking that it will be something like that, meaning you'll have to get this shot every single year, if not every 6 months. Or that's what they want you to think. It says maybe it'll be every 2 years or every 3 years. I think that as the virus changes, the vaccine is going to have to change. So that means we're going to guess now, but it might be constantly. Every three, I mean, it could be any time frame. I anticipate that it will be a repeated vaccine. There it is. If I don't get the flu vaccine, can I still get COVID vaccine? The answer to that is yes. I don't even know why that question is. If I don't get the flu vaccine, can I still get the, I mean, I don't even understand what kind of question. That is just to float the idea that you should still be getting flu vaccines. I think that's what that is. If a person has had COVID and recovered, are they already immune? The answer is yes. Will their immunity be short term? Which I don't even understand that, by the way. And I mean that literally. Like, I would like to speak to somebody about this in general. Like, the concept of immunity has never, I mean, in historically speaking, the concept is you get, like, with chickenpox, right? I imagine it has to do with specifically what you're dealing with, but the idea that it can just, you can get immunity and then it just kind of goes away doesn't make sense to me. And it could be because I don't understand it fully, but it doesn't, I want people to push into that. I think the argument is being made without people really fully understanding it, so they can push the idea that you need to get it every year. The point is the flu vaccine doesn't even try to stop you from getting it. I think that's the point here too. They're going to argue that you'll just get some, you know, it'll reduce your symptoms and they'll pretend that it's a little bit of immunity, but it comes back later and you'll get it later. Doesn't make sense to me. It says, how long do you anticipate the vaccines to be effective? It says, those are a couple of different questions. If somebody has COVID, they are immune. If somebody has COVID-19, they are immune. But of course, he's saying sort of if you have it currently, you can't catch it, which I think that's obvious. The data at this point suggests that people may be at least immune out to 8 months. Again, doesn't make any sense to me. That will wane over time. Will that? Most likely, he says. Why most likely? Why is it that you could argue that? Will that be less effective as the virus changes? Most likely. So he's guessing. So we will tell people if they've had COVID-19, they should get vaccinated because that will boost their immune system and maybe cause the immunity to last longer. That's actually shown to be literally the opposite. We've already talked about the flu vaccine and the way that it actually hurts your immune system in regard to other things. The Pentagon study already talked about this. 36% more likely to increase your risk of other infections. I'm blanking on the name all of a sudden about what that's called. Virus something. I'm forgetting the other term, but this is shown. That's their study. They funded it. So what they're telling you is just get it, it'll make you better. But that's shown even with the COVID-19 vaccine, it's pretty clear that's not what's happening. We just want people to wait probably 3 months after they have been diagnosed or more so they can avoid getting a more severe reaction to the vaccine. Yeah, right. So it's dangerous. So don't get it right away. What are the side effects for people who have health issues already and putting this experimental drug in our bodies? It says, let me make a couple of points about that. First, the two vaccines that are authorized for emergency use are not really experimental drugs anymore. So this is semantics. So this guy has an agenda and he clearly wants you to think everything's okay, because by the very definition of this non-vaccine, it is literally experimental. Why? Because technically we're still experimenting. We haven't even completed this. Look, by the very definition, whether you want to argue that I'm, you know, emergency use authorization is implying that you haven't completed the safety trials. That's why you're giving an emergency use. So it's technically still being experimented on. Hence, it is still experimental. And that's not even counting that it is literally, in a general sense, an experimental type vaccine. It's just so obvious that that's not true what he just said. He says they are not fully FDA approved because they haven't gone through the entire 2-year follow-up period necessary for the final approval. Yeah, but they have been tested. And this no longer is an experiment. Oh, I see. So the moment that you test it on one person, it's no longer an experiment? That's what he's saying. So since it's been tested somewhat, that means it's not experimental anymore. No, that's a childish argument. It's being tested, hence it is still being tested. It's an experiment. And it's an experimental vaccine that has never succeeded until now, and we haven't even seen it play out yet. That is an experiment. And then he just says point blank, we know that vaccines work. That's very generous. They both have been tested to over 30,000 people. By the way, I still argue that's completely misrepresenting. They both are about 90% effective, according to the companies that make them that are profit motive, and the reality on the ground does not represent that. People who have underlying illnesses, there are no real data that suggests that you're more likely or less likely to get side effects. That's not true. These people don't care about you. And I'm literally showing you the reality also in mainstream articles, while in other mainstream articles, they're saying that right there doesn't exist. Because they don't think you're that intelligent. They don't think any of us are. Prove them wrong. So most of the side effects that people get from the vaccine are local. That's, you know, and look, and that, I haven't, we're using their data, first of all. But based on their data, that you could argue that's true. But most in a very large program, doesn't necessarily, I mean, look, if you're talking about 10% of the people getting severe effects or any effects, that's a huge amount. It says, I suspect probably almost everybody does, and people might get swelling in the arm and might have some other local changes, and we've already seen that. Everybody should not be getting side effects. That's not okay. I don't care if it's swelling or anything. It shouldn't always happen to everybody the entire time. I think they're both very similar, he says. I would just say whichever one you can get, you should take. I don't think there's enough difference between them to really make a decision about this. But then they say, what happens if you mix them? And we already know this is very dangerous, as even their own scientist in the UK said there's no science behind this. He says, that's an interesting question. We do our best not to do that. I don't know what exactly would be the situation. So you don't know. And then you go on to say, I don't think I would dissuade somebody from doing that. You don't know, and yet you're going, yeah, go ahead and do it anyway. Does that sound like a doctor? God darn it. I'm so frustrated that these people are saying things that are fundamentally unscientific it's not medical. It's just, we don't know, but just do it anyway, because they're probably okay. That is because you're blinded by the science of the religion of vaccines, because they're just good, and we know they always work, so it's probably the same here. If that's your doctor, you should run screaming. Just because if something that hasn't been tested and we don't know, you should do anyway, just because they're normally good, is not an intelligent response. But he's saying, well, here's the point. They should do that if that was the only way they could get their second dose. So it's more important for you to get whatever that is in your arm, even if you're using a different product with a different time between the two doses, with a different temperature being held at, with something that's made by two different companies. But if you, just got to get it in your arm no matter what, then just go ahead and do it. That is crazy. I feel like I'm breaking my own discussion here before already 2 hours. So whatever, I've already gone further than I thought. Yep, I was wrong again. I'm going too long. But so the coronavirus vaccines carry the virus. So once getting it, do you become a carrier? He said the vaccine contains some genetic material from the virus called that RNA, which I thought was sort of interesting because we know that. Anyway, this is something I want to remember for future reference, because I think I've seen mainstream flat out argue the opposite. And maybe that's again because they don't understand what RNA is, which is they're just parrots. That is the genetic material that's responsible for making one protein. One part of the coronavirus is called the spike protein. It says, so that's it. There's no active virus. There's no replication. People don't become carriers. It's just a different way of delivering the vaccine. But what's interesting, or the immunity, is we've seen sort of an interesting side, like all of these people come down with the virus right after getting it in Israel. So I want to see how this plays out, because I'm beginning to see real world evidence that calls that into question. I would argue that's true, though. If the science they're telling us is correct, it shouldn't be able to make you sick. But, how do we know they're telling us the truth? And then it says, is the vaccine recommended for people who are pregnant? The questions that you're asking are really good, because they're not perfectly answerable. Yes, they are. We haven't tested it on pregnant women. Hence, they should not get it. That's what any honest doctor would tell you. Not one who's blinded by vaccine religion. Here's the best answer I can give you. Pregnant women are excluded from all the trials that have been done. What we know for vaccinating women with other long-standing vaccines, which shouldn't have any relevance on this discussion, is that as long as the vaccine does not contain a live organism, well, then it's safe. So we haven't tested it, but because other vaccines over here do things, then you're good. So we suggest that pregnant women be vaccinated. I can't believe that. These are bad people. Whether he even realizes it or not, this guy should be removed from his position. If this was any other treatment, he would not say that. If we were talking about some kind of surgery, and you would go, well, we've never done it like this before, but the other ones work, so let's give it a shot. You don't do that. This is unscientific. This is unmedical. This is non-medical. This is alarming. But this is what happens when people are brainwashed. How can we get herd immunity if we don't know how long the vaccines will be effective for? I will say it's time sensitive. I understand that if you don't know how long the vaccine is going to last, herd immunity may not last forever. That doesn't make sense. The idea, and this is why the idea of herd immunity is kind of this nebulous concept they just kind of push on you outside. And if normal herd immunity doesn't just go away. But with all these things, I mean, look, they argue we need flu vaccines for herd immunity. But if it changes every year and they change the vaccine every year, they also know that that's not even true. That they're just, if we'll say it now, but we'll just give it to you next year. The argument is in that moment that you can reach that somehow. But that never seems to be the case, does it? It's all about this profit motive, at least in one regard. Do Pfizer and Moderna vaccines protect against different strains of coronavirus? And this is the interesting point about it, the, you know, strains being changed, which, by the way, we should be very suspicious of, but that's their argument. So taking their argument and realizing, doesn't that mean the current vaccine is no longer going to work based on your logic about flu vaccines, which, by the way, is the same thing you're doing over here, saying, well, these vaccines work that way, so they should probably be safe. So taking your same logic, if flu vaccines work that way, so shouldn't these? Uh-oh, doesn't work both ways, does it? There are some laboratory data, particularly with the Pfizer vaccine right now, that looks at the changes associated with the new strains and demonstrates that they do protect against those strains. Okay, cool. So they do work. Who cares about all the other things we know? They did a quick look and they know it works, so good. I wonder if Pfizer decided that because they don't want to not sell the vaccine they just produced for the billions they will get. I wonder if that played a factor in that decision-making process. Who knows? At the end of the day, this is just a hodgepodge of nonsensical lies and misrepresentations, and it's so insulting that they are pushing this kind of stuff. Thanks, Brittany Johnson, for your horrible journalism. Oh, that's right. This is what I looked at a moment ago, but this is, I hope you'll continue to read this fully. A very important article. And recognize that, now it wants to zoom out. Natal Zax is here telling you that we're editing your genetic code and that we're hacking the software of life. And then later talking about how, no, it doesn't do any of that stuff that I said it did back in 2017, because that's conspiracy theory. And what happens if you don't want to get the vaccine that is obviously very dangerous and causing side effects possibly 85 times that of a flu vaccine? You know, who cares about all that? Just get it anyway, right? That's what they want. But what if you just are hesitant? Well, Germany is now actually putting COVID rule breakers in detention camp. Now, this applies to not just the vaccine, but just in general, right? Detention camps. As the article points out, not too bluntly, Germany putting people in detention camps, like that seems like an obvious way to flip people out. But it's not just Germany, by the way. This is all over. We've seen Canada talk about this. We've seen the United States talk about FEMA camps, which we'll show you next. This is all around. But it's actually happening now. So I want people to understand this is not some hypothetical. This is literally now. They are telling you that if you do not do what you're told, we're going to put you in a detention camp. It says Germany is set to put COVID dissidents who repeatedly failed to properly follow the rules in what's being described as, quote, a detention camp located in Dresden. In order to try to increase compliance, violators are told that if they receive both a warning and then a fine, a court will decide whether they should be punished with a stint in the camp. The idea that people in any sense are being put in camps because they are refusing to go along with things that aren't actually even laws. We are in a really, really dangerous situation where we are actually really close to some of the worst situations in history that we've seen in the past. And guess what? It's being driven by some of the same people. I'm talking about the United States, by the way, and different groups like the Israeli government that I argue were clearly involved behind the scenes with what went down in Germany back in the day. Right? And this is not something you should even balk at. We have very clear reality proof that groups, the CIA, even groups like the families, like the Rothschilds, actually funding both sides of the war, working with Nazis during the war, and understand very clearly that eugenics, that was the, you know, that we frame as the Nazi thing, that was born in the United States by the very families we're talking about. And they quietly pulled themselves back behind the scenes when this all started. And by the way, a lot of these people, even involved with the vaccine program today, were very recently involved in a group that was very recently called the Eugenic Society. And they just quietly changed the name. Like, this is everywhere. This is an alarming reality. And the very people that I think are behind some of the worst things in history are seemingly driving this now. As we previously highlighted, last year, authorities in New Zealand said that they will put all new coronavirus infectees and their close family members in quarantine facilities. Right, this is in New Zealand. It's not even about whether you break the rules. If they deem you're sick based on a test that is easily manipulatable and prone to false positives, then you will be put in a camp. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern made it clear that anyone in the quarantine facility who refused to take the test would simply be held there for 14 days. Rights, your rights and self-determination aside, who cares? We make the decisions for your life. Earlier this month, a lawmaker in New York, as we've already talked about, introduced a bill that would give the government in the U.S. the power to remove and detain disease carriers in quarantine facilities. We've already told you about this. And now CNBC is telling you, breaking, Biden is going to deploy FEMA, National Guard, to set up COVID vaccine clinics. So that's a little alarming, right? FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, setting up clinics to just give vaccines in a situation that's not technically, their argument is that it's a big dangerous thing, but that's not typically what FEMA is working with. FEMA is not somebody that should be just giving out vaccines. This is odd. And it begins to start to look like exactly what we're talking about here. And as this person follows up and says, good, the sooner this is done, the sooner we can get back to some type of normalcy. You see what I'm talking about? Why, Kelly? Why do you think that? Because the vaccine will allow you to go back to your normal life? No, it won't. Because it'll stop you from spreading it? No, it won't. Because it'll stop your grandma from getting it or you from getting it? No, it won't. It won't do any of that. In fact, they're openly telling you that even once you get this, that you have to keep wearing a mask and keep locking down and keep doing everything. So why is it that you still think that it'll bring you back to some type of normalcy? And why does that old normalcy even be something that you want? This is a bad situation that's been exponentially increased in a more severe, worse manner. So going back to that bad situation shouldn't be what we want either. We should want these horrible criminals to stop leading the charge. But in any sense, even going back to that not so happy situation we were in before this started is better than where we are now. But that is not even on the table. We're not even close. If this is going to be happening every year, the point is it's not going away. You will be doing this forever because this is your new normal. As I kept saying, if you knew that this would never end, would you still keep complying? I argue Kelly would say no, but she still thinks that this is going to bring her back to normalcy. And that's crazy. Not just because it's not true, but because they're telling you that it's not true and she still somehow thinks it. Now, I'm not trying to make fun of Kelly. The point is I want people like them to recognize what we're saying. So don't be mean, don't be rude, just point out facts. But what we need to see is that so many of these people are still completely snowed by the media. And here is the announcement from Trump's administration telling you that they're signing the Safeguarding Tomorrow Through Ongoing Risk Mitigation Act, or the STORM Act. Which, by the way, I find really interesting that the STORM Act came out right before Storm the Capitol, right? Let's just pretend like none of this stuff is connected, which authorizes the federal emergency, the FEMA, to provide capitalization grants to states to establish revolving funds to provide hazard mitigation assistance to reduce risk from disasters and natural hazards. This is what we're talking about. And as Corey Diggs points out, before people respond to this, they should read the bill itself. And you'll have the link, it's all included. This is about giving FEMA's administrator the ability to give grants to states for projects. From what I'm seeing, it would appear to cut through red tape for FEMA. This is where this is going in regard to setting up FEMA camps. And remember, New York is already talking about, they're setting up this bill removal of cases, contacts, and carriers of communicable diseases who are potentially dangerous to public health. Relates to the removal. Now, the same thing when you get into this document, which I've already gone over, it literally talks about putting you in these camps, in these FEMA camps. So you point this out and people call you a conspiracy theorist. It doesn't matter that they're already talking about it and pointing to it and setting you up for it. It's literally happening in front of us, just like the COVID scenario. And all they can say is that fake news because they were told to. Here is Biden deploying FEMA to set up COVID vaccine clinics. Why don't we see where this is going? Just like we said from the beginning. Like even right now, I ask, right? All the people that were screaming that we were crazy, dumb conspiracy theorists about vaccine passports, about lockdowns, about masks, about any of this stuff. Can you not see that we were right? Where are you right now? Can you not recognize that we were going, this is going to happen? And you guys were going, you're crazy. They'll never do that. They'll never force that. They'll never make that happen. Here we are. I just don't understand why those people aren't, you know, some of them, by the way, I argue most of them are probably seeing it now. It's time to recognize this. But going forward, the lockdown in general, which is where this is leading to, despite all the stuff we've already talked about, despite the vaccine manipulations, the dangerous part of it, the fact that all of this stuff is unjust based on manipulations of numbers and all of it, this is the kind of nonsense we're seeing in regard to these lockdowns. It's about compliance. It's not about safety. As these people were walking with hot beverages, here's what it says. You're allowed to exercise outside of your home under the new UK current COVID lockdowns. So it's just incredible that this is where we are right now. But the rule states vaguely that you must stay in your own local area, which of course is up to the decision of the person arresting you, right? It's a subject of, well, that might be local for one guy, but that's a little too far away for the other guy. But it says, so when two women drove 5 miles from their homes to take a scheduled walk in nature, they were immediately surrounded by police and issued 200 euro fines each. The officers used their own discretion to decide that driving to a nearby park for a walk was not in the spirit of the lockdown. The officers also decided that since the woman both had beverages, their walk, quote, walk, was really just a picnic in disguise, which is strictly verboten. This is not satire. So the police arresting women walking separately with separate drinks, separated themselves in the park, is wrong because beverages mean picnic. And so why does that make sense? Because the picnic's just off limits? Like, that has nothing to do with health. They were abiding by the rules. They weren't far away. They were wearing masks. They were being protected under the guise of these, I think, unjust rules. But the point is that it just because the cop decided, well, we're not supposed to allow them to have drinks and stuff. That's picnics. So we're going to be really dumb about this and arrest them. It's just scary to think the damage to society that could have occurred if these horrible criminals were allowed to sip tea while strolling in a remote park. This is the BBC right here. Surrounded by police. Here they are. It says the women were already told that hot drinks that they had brought along were not allowed as they were classed as a picnic. I can't even, does anybody believe this? Like, is there anybody out there going, yeah, those people were risking everyone's lives. Like, where is this? Class is a picnic. It's so arbitrary. This is why you have things like strip clubs still open, but churches not. Or by some things open and some not. Like, it's totally arbitrary. Why you're allowed to fly in a plane right next to somebody, but you can't sit in a movie theater. It doesn't make any sense. As we drove in there, there was a police van, a police car, and there were loads of police. That many, they sent in multiple cars, vans, and armed personnel for two women in a park with drinks. I genuinely thought someone had been murdered, she said. A place is normally so quiet. The next thing, my car was surrounded. I got out of my car thinking, there's no way they're coming to speak to us. Straight away, they start questioning us. One of them started reading my rights. And I was looking at my friend thinking, this must be a joke. I said we had come in separate cars, even parked two spaces away, and even brought our own drinks with us. He said, you can't do that as it's classed as a picnic. That's it. That's all it is. A mindless enforcer. And that's exactly what they want. Well, another study from the American Institute of Economic Research is pointing out that, yes, they are increasing your risks. Study indicates lockdowns have increased deaths of despair. I'm actually going to, you can read this for you, through for yourself. The point is, now, actually, I do want to read this, just these two parts right here. I want to make sure you read this for yourself because there's a lot of good information in this whole study. But it says a new working paper published by the National Bureau of Economic Research notes some significant increases in excess deaths among working age individuals. So not older, by the way. Excess deaths are the number of deaths exceeding the expected number in a given year. If there are excess deaths, that means something usually has happened, such as a pandemic or a drastic change to social life, such as lockdowns. And here's the point, is right now they're screaming about the over amount, the excess deaths, but the reality is that we know, and this is verified by their experts as well, that the lockdowns caused a dramatic increase in like every other part of mortality. So, and by the way, I also do not think, I think the facts and science show that they didn't even stop what we're talking about in regard to whatever this is we're dealing with. But on top of that, it exponentially increased almost all these other parts of mortality. And all these studies are showing that. So what they're saying is this lockdown, in fact, is probably what's responsible for a huge part of what these excess deaths are. And nobody wants to talk about that. Of course, the elephant in the room is that over 250,000 excess deaths have been attributed to COVID-19, with 30,000 attributed to non-COVID causes. The debate about whether recorded COVID deaths should be lower or higher, and whether lockdowns have been anything to help with that number, have done anything to help, will be saved for another day. The purpose of this article is to focus on the fact that younger people have been dying at higher rates than usual, and it is likely that lockdowns are one of the main drivers. Nobody wants to talk about that. Why? Because it doesn't fit the narrative. I think we created what we're looking at. I think the actions the government took caused the thing they're using to justify what they're doing to us. Does it sound familiar? That's exactly what they do overseas. They create a protest, they shoot people, and they claim that government hurt them and we need to stop them, and they push in and destroy the country. Be based on what they created. That's what happened in Syria. That's what happened in all these countries, I believe. Look at Venezuela. We caught them in the act. They will create violence and then point to the violence as the justification to do what they want. Here we are, where they're creating the situation causing the deaths. Every action they've taken has led to increased suffering and increased death. Every single one of them, I point out every time. Then they turn around, point to those deaths, and say, that's what caused the COVID-19 deaths. Every single one of them. Even as we know they're mischaracterizing deaths in like every possible way. But we got this fringe group of loud screamers that they push out as the mainstream, as the majority of the people, that they point to and say, you're all fringe crazy, and this group is the majority. As what the, I would probably like 70% of the country sits back and goes, gosh, this is crazy. How do everyone think that? Wake up, guys. You're the majority. They lie to you. The media is misrepresenting the majority. When we can realize that we, in fact, are the majority, we can change things. We just have to realize it. And I remember that as I reported, this is Global Research, but I reported this, I think it was from The Sun, or maybe not. But anyway, I reported this, I think the last show I did. Canadian experts' research finds lockdowns' harm are 10 times greater than the benefits. Dr. Ari Jaffe. No one talked about this. This is the Canadian experts. And by the way, they continued locking down anyway. They just locked down Ontario to stay-at-home orders. Doesn't matter. The stats and data and facts and science don't matter. If you say something against the narrative, well, they're not science then. The only science, quote unquote science, that counts is the quote unquote science that aligns with what they want to achieve. That's it. Just like they do with foreign policy, just like they do with law and rights and liberty and morals and everything. It's all a means to an end for these very dishonest criminal governments. And the UK is now closing all travel corridors to curb. They are continuing to do the opposite of what their experts said, and we're the unscientific conspiracy theorists. Oh, but here's some really dangerous stuff that happened because no one was paying attention, right? Look at it, broke out in chaos as this huge snowball fight erupts in Leeds Park as people flout the coronavirus lockdown rules. This is how people, I mean, look at all the people, guys. This is why I want you to realize that you are the majority. We're convinced that we are told that we are the fringe and that these people out here are the small minority. You would not have something like this happen if this was a fringe, crazy group of people that didn't listen. You are the majority. And they want you to think something like this is catastrophically dangerous. God forbid we stop. How dare they go out there and have fun in the park? That's why they're arresting people drinking coffee, because it's not about safety. You're supposed to be in your house because they told you to be. That's it. And here's why they're trying to scare you away from it. A new campaign labels friends as contagious vermin to avoid. Noncompliance is murder. Coercive messages to divide, conquer, and subjugate, but also to fuel to shame and blame others. A sinister new phase out of the media-driven psychosis, all designed to assure your absolute obedience. These are real advertisements from the NHS in UK. Don't meet up with your mates. Hanging out in parks could kill. This is so disgusting. I just saw Gareth Eich point out a horrible article that was, maybe I have it still. No, I just lost my place now. Where was I? Here we go. Gareth Eich shared a really disgusting article where they were basically talking about kids that were apologizing to their dying parents for going out to see their friends. right? So your parents dying from COVID, they're being told, and they're in there going, I'm so sorry I didn't listen to the government. It's just some of the most disgusting propaganda I think I've ever seen, and it's really wrong. If you go out, you can spread it. People will die. This is the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act kind of stuff. This is the classic worst kind of propaganda we've seen during wartime, because you're at war. You're in a war right now. You're in a bulletless war. That's what's happening. That's why this is happening. And lockdowns, guess what? They're here to stay anyway. Where was what's her name? I forgot where she was now. Here, right here. Here's Kelly. Remember, the sooner we get this, the sooner we can go back to normalcy. Except that's not what they're saying. Lockdowns are here to stay, according to the OECD. Stay with, even with the vaccine plan. I mean, they are openly telling you, this is the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development. Okay, they are telling you lockdowns are here to stay, not temporary. This is your new normal, guys. If you're not paying attention now, I don't think you ever will. I've been saying this from the beginning. This is not going away. And I'm not saying this is an opinion. They're telling you this. Lockdowns are here to stay even after the vaccine, of course, because they know that it won't do what they're telling you. They're making the media tell you that it will do, even as they tell you it won't do that. Lockdowns are here to stay, despite the fact that we know, based on even their own experts, it's causing exponential harm. Maybe it's because they want to cause harm. I don't know. You tell me. But there are plenty of people, including the snowball fights, protesting. 10,000 protesters decry COVID-19 curbs in Vienna, facing counter-protests. Right, it's everywhere. People, I mean, you don't have all these kind of protests if this is some fringe anti-science community. It's everywhere. Here's another one. I am open. 50,000 Italian restaurant owners plan to ignore the lockdown. This is what we call civil disobedience, guys, and this is what we need to do. There's going to be repercussions. But the point is that we're all at risk right now. Not from COVID-19, but from government action. We are all at risk from some very severe consequences if we do not stand up and resist what's happening right now. So I commend them for taking this chance. Oh, and just in case you wanted to, you know, make sure that Bill Gates was still doing what was right for everybody, guess what? America's biggest owner of farmland is now Bill Gates. Oh, that's funny. I wonder how he managed that. Oh, probably because everybody just lost everything and no one can pay their bills. And he just kind of swooped in and bought up all the farmland, because that's totally honest, right? This is not a joke. In the middle of this pandemic where people are losing everything, Bill Gates swept in and bought up all the farmland. Good times. Now, what does that sound like to you? Does that sound like something honest and good for you? Or does it sound like somebody who has a clear interest in controlling everything, having control over your food infrastructure, having control over your access to food or what's in the food or how it's grown? That's crazy. This non-scientist, unelected official is basically controlling everything. And by the way, that's not just some opinion. We've shown you... Derek has done at least 3 articles on this showing you how his tentacles reach to damn near everything we're talking about today. And we're talking about direct funding, which obviously influences the direction. Before I even read this, remember, here's another Forbes article. Welcome to 2030. I own nothing, have no privacy, and life has never been better. Except some people own stuff, just not you. Right? We're going into this greater reset, all this new stuff, and we're going to redesign everything, except they're not doing anything different. They're buying it all as they manipulate you into thinking that everything's going to change. Bill Gates has been quietly snatching up 242,000 acres of farmland across the United States, enough to make him the top private farmland owner in America. The top private farmland owner in America. That is sickening. Do you understand? This is the guy that's pushing GM foods. This is the guy that's pushing all kinds of weird nanotechnology science in the future, talking about dimming the sun for our safety. Like, this is not the person that we should have in charge of stuff like this. And I want to reiterate, the only reason this happened now, and probably at a dramatic discount, is because everyone's lives were destroyed because of things he was involved with. So you could argue that this is a clear benefit to what's going on. It just makes me sick. It really does. But to finish up, and you know, it's funny, somebody always points this out. Yes, when I say that, it pretty much means the last grouping. So it could be a good 20, 30 minutes, maybe. So So they make fun of me. He's finishing up for the last 20 minutes there. But this is important. This is actually a really important one that I want everyone to see, because this is showing us the direction is changing, at least in this area. This is the first face mask discrimination case where the person won. A disabled woman assisted by Kester Disability Rights, which is this website, has been paid 7,000 euro, which is should be so much more than that, in compensation by a service provider who refused her access to a service because she was unable to wear a face mask. That is huge. That is precedent. She won because the person was too ignorant and too brainwashed by the government to care that she has a medical exemption. Now understand, this is going to get even bigger as we get into the reality of the science being fleshed out and showing people that you're putting yourself at risk by doing this in general if you're not sick. But this is the first step. So for all those people out there that are being refused service, even though you say you've got a medical exemption, now understand what you heard me say. Even though you say you have a medical exemption, because that's where it should end, no matter what. For all the people out there dealing with that, this is a big step in the right direction where we're finding that there are precedents being set, that these people are unjustly telling you have to do this. So let's hope it continues. Now, as well, don't forget, even though we're talking about all this stuff, Brits may have to wear face masks forever, right? Again, let's get this done so we can go back to normalcy. Nope. Forever, they say, whether or not you're getting vaccines, whether or not this stuff works. And the virus will, according to them, always be with us. Forever. So lockdowns forever, masks forever. Anyone confused? That's direct quotes from officials in the UK government. But let's pretend like I'm wrong because of what? because they're secretly mean something else. And that may be even true, but we have to go off what they're saying. It says Brits could be wearing face masks forever as COVID-19 will always be with us, according to England's deputy chief medical officer. The top medic added that lockdowns will probably be with us until mid to late spring. Except on top of that, they're also telling you that it will never go away. Right? It's never going away. Don't forget that. But maybe. But it says the professor also cautioned that the virus will be with us for the foreseeable future. But it'll all go away tomorrow, though, right? Vaccine, yeah. No, everything they're telling us means that showing us it will be here forever. Not the whatever they're telling us this is, but their reaction to it will always be here. Based on, every step of the way, things that we now even know are false, like the numbers in the beginning. 3.4%, or the idea of the asymptomatic transmission. All these things are illusions being used to drive this. The PCR test, the combination of pneumonia, influenza, and COVID deaths, on and on and on. It is all a big, disgusting illusion. And here's another one that I thought was obscenely stupid. Thank you for sharing this, Candyman Patrick. It says, just saw this posting by my local transit authority. Apparently, even though you are sneezing and coughing into your mask, which, by the way, they argue is supposed to be protecting everybody, you still should cover your mask with a tissue to help prevent transmission. That's not a joke. So the point is that they're telling you, even though this mask is supposed to, you know, protect your grandma, that we want you to cover your mask with your hand or a tissue to stop transmission. So doesn't that inherently imply that you can still? Yes, it does. But this is so basic. And as always, I show every time, the reality is that every article I do and every show I do has all of these mask studies we've talked about listed below for you to look at. It's already there right now. The links, when we're done, will be put on, but the mask studies are there every single time because it's that clear. It always has been. And to finish up with all the other illusions taking place, here's something I found very interesting. Here's a tweet that says, next week there'll be a planned COVID crisis. A U.S. nurse speaks out about the corruption in American hospitals. Remember, this is happening simultaneously across the planet. And that tweet's gone. I thought, well, that's really interesting because all he did was, or whoever that was, share a video of a nurse saying those things. And that's still up. In fact, here's the YouTube video, which that'll probably be taken down soon enough. But let's take a look at what this nurse had to say. I wonder why they would remove that.
I work for a large hospital system in Broward County, Florida, on the anesthesia team. Last night, the house nurse manager came to my department and told us that we must prepare for a COVID crisis that's going to start next week. And they're going, the hospital will be taking part of our recovery unit, anesthesia recovery unit, to house COVID patients. And that we should, that we cannot allow surgical patients' families to come visit them, which we do pre and post surgery, pre and post anesthesia. And I looked at her and I said, how do you know we're going, you're going to need our rooms, our bays? And how do you know there's going to be a crisis next week? She tilted down her glasses. She looked at me and she said, you know what's going on by now. And I said, yeah, I do. And everyone else just went, oh, here we go again, and shrugged their shoulders. Does anyone else find this really strange besides me? It's about time that this whole corrupted, stinking system is brought down. Seriously. Because I'm really hating my job right now. I can't stand this corruption anymore. Please share.
So, it's very interesting. Now, you could argue, the point that I find most interesting is where the nurse pulls her glasses down and says, you know what's going on by now. Now, you could argue that no one should assume, as always, the same thing we say about them when they assume because they lean into what they want it to be. She could just as easily be saying that in the idea that we know how serious this is, so we know it's going to get worse because that's what's happening. And I don't think that because of the way that she represented the way that she responded and the way that everyone else responded with her. Like, oh, here we go again. But the point is, we don't know that for a fact. But what she is saying, we do know for a fact. But I do think that the way that she said the nurse responded is interesting. As if they're going, no, come on. We all know this is the way this goes. But nonetheless, what she is saying is really important. As the nurse saying that, it doesn't make sense to her. And it's very logical, right? Why? How do you know there's going to be a crisis? How do you know that we're going to need these people? And as she said clearly, in her opinion, as a person working in this field, that this system is broken. We need to bring the whole damn thing down. And no, that doesn't mean chaos. The point is we need to put something better in its place. And I'm not talking about just the medicals. We need the whole system that is broken, that feeds into this problem, that allows doctors and scientists and police and military and everybody else to be the worst they can possibly be. That is the problem because it benefits them. She sees it. You see it. We see it. The point is we need to come together and fight back. And as always, I'm not talking about violence. But we need to fight back. We need to stop this from going forward without being checked at all. And all we need to do that is realize that we are not the minority. We are simply not. I know we can see that, but hopefully we can drive that out and make that more of an obvious reality for everybody. But I hope this will get out further. I'm going to do my best to cut this one up as well as the other one tomorrow. I will do my best. There's always so much going on, as you guys see. Two great articles went out today. There's more coming from Whitney, more happening on the website, more happening with the new platform that's coming soon, and on and on and on. But I will do my best to bring it to you. But as always, I will be here. I won't stop. I will continue to push out the information, whether YouTube censors again or whether Twitter censors or whatever continues to happen, I will squeak this out wherever I can because it's really about you, the last thing that they care about. So thank you for being here. Thank you for asking questions. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
يصنعوا فيروس وينشروه في العالم باش الشركات الرأسمالية تحصل أموال. الأمصال ما لا تباع، الدواء لا يباع. إذا كان فيه تباع بثمن غالي معناها تجارة. اعلنوا قولوا الدواء مجاني. الأمصال مجانية. مش حتنتشر الفيروسات اللي خلقوا فيها باش يعملوا مصال وباش تكسب منها الشركات الرأسمالية المصانع تشتغل
بتاعت المخابرات